participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Stop the rock. Stop on the run. Stop on the run. Can't stop the run. Can't stop on the run.
Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Mystery song.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been giving out the hotline number?
Rob Spiegel.
I knew it.
The only person I gave it to was Don Payablo.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Hot Number. And all the ships at sea, stay tuned for more love. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie.
And hello. And thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. Brand new episode on this Friday, January 4th. Here are your phone numbers for instant access. From anywhere in America, you can call us at 877-365-3636. That's a universal number. Washington, D.C. on WJFK. Call 202-432-1067. That's your special number. New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. That's your special number.
All right.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
In the next room, I'm wearing an attractive, fallish, winterish pullover number today.
He's dreaming.
It's performance fleece, don't you know?
Our friend Guy Burley demands to be introduced at the beginning of every show. Listen, I've just given out all of the telephone numbers there, the national number, the D.C. number, the New York City number. I'm sitting here waiting for the hotline to ring, though, because we've changed the hotline number, and
where's our friend? Where's Mr. Big Man? Where's Mr. Big Shot, Mr. Insider?
I don't know.
Gone.
Where'd he go?
Gone. Don't know.
Nobody's calling it.
No.
I mean, we're waiting.
The hotline number's been changed. That's all. That's all it took was one simple phone call on the show yesterday.
You big wuss.
You know, not to gloat or anything, but we have been on the air for 3 minutes now, and the hotline has not rung.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, if he had it, he'd be calling it right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, the great thing about the new hotline is that nobody knows it.
Right. That's right. Good.
I mean, when I say nobody knows it, I mean, I'm serious.
Nobody knows it.
Nobody knows what the number is. You know how I had to get the number?
How?
I had to call my wife and ask my wife what the number is that was showing up on her cell phone.
Right.
That's wow. Exactly. That's how I figured out what the new hotline number is.
So somebody called, dialed it for you, but didn't you dial your wife?
Yes, I dialed my wife, and my wife's on her cell phone.
Now. So you dialed out on the hotline,
yeah.
Right?
And that's the only way you were able
to. And I said, you see that number? That's the new hotline number.
Because no one would even share it with you.
Yeah, well, no. I got it yesterday.
Well, yes.
I got it from the woman on the Verizon yesterday, but then I immediately just...
You ate it.
I passed it off to someone, and I'm not quite sure where it went.
Oh, dear.
So now, if you got an emergency...
I think your wife is the source.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah, of course you're kidding. No, I don't know. Who knows? God, you know, she certainly has given it out to enough people, though. I mean, think back to when the Brits would call up
right
on the hotline. And,
yeah, of course.
You know, my kids giving it out. It certainly could. It could have been anybody.
You mean foreigners had our hotline number?
Yes, they did.
Oh. Well.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Would you contend that you perhaps have met your Lex Luthor with this guy?
No.
No way. Heavens, no.
Of course
this guy,
not.
This guy seems to have an answer for everything against you guys.
He's a flea.
Listen, if you want to use the Superman analogy, first off, Mike and I, you're right in that regard, and Mike and I would be the guys with the blue underwear on and the big S's on our chest.
Superman.
Superbad.
You don't want this guy.
We're Superman, and if you want to give that guy the credit of saying that he's Lex Luthor, if he was really Lex Luthor, he would have called already today with a hotline.
Yeah, he doesn't have the hotline, and it's killing him right now because he's not going to get it.
See, because that was the whole thing. You said, I'll call you tomorrow. I guarantee I'll call you tomorrow with the new hotline.
Maybe he's Brainiac.
But, you know, I don't think
you give him any credit at all.
That's one of the lesser Superman villains, but I agree. I don't think
he's
deserves...
a citizen on the street of Metropolis.
Maybe he's Otis.
He is not.
There you go.
Not even Otis? Not,
no.
No. You know what? He is not worthy of being a supervillain.
As De Niro would say, he's nothing. No, nothing.
He's not a supervillain.
The only other thing I was thinking of is if you guys were Batman and Robin, he might be the Riddler, because he was doing a lot of Riddler.
That would be actually closer, but still, not a supervillain.
The Riddler was a supervillain.
Right. Yeah.
You know, at the very best, he would be one of the guys in Batman, one of the guys that would get punched, and it would say, pow or wham.
And even then, you're giving him too much credit.
Yeah, he's simply a bit player.
He's an extra.
At very best.
Yeah, he's like in black slacks and a black turtleneck and just white letters on his shirt that say a-hole.
Right. Hello. Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy. Good morning. Hey. Hi.
Well, it is.
Right.
Hey, I don't know if you're in New York, right? And they were playing yesterday's show?
Yeah.
And the turbo dumbasses kept bleeping out that guy's phone number.
Oh, really? They were deleting that out?
Yeah, they were deleting, they only got the area code, and then they delete out the rest of the number. What's the guy's number again?
You know, I don't even know. I don't know that either. I'll find out. I'll give it out. All right, thank you, my friend.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Thank you. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Buzz wrote it down.
You mean this number?
Hello, Don and Mike.
I mean, hello.
What are you doing? What, hello?
I am evil Homer. I am evil Homer.
He's got a sampler.
Oh, he's got a sound thing there. I got you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got you.
What else do you have on there?
I saw weird stuff in that place last night. Weird, strange, sick, twisted, eerie, godless, evil stuff.
Really, right. Homer?
Homer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, I think you just figured it out right there. I think the guy was selling weed to the Brits.
The guy was selling weed to the Brits. All right, get out of here, would you please?
What's wrong with people?
Listen, first I want to find out. Lisa went to SmackDown last night. SmackDown was live in D.C. at the MCI Center last night.
Didn't she have really good seats?
She had front row seats.
Front row seats.
She had front row seats. As a matter of fact, there were seats that we were supposed to give away on the air.
Oh, really?
And she asked if she could have them. Remember, we gave away like second row, third row.
Yes, I remember.
Fourth row. We actually gave away a ringside seat.
Yeah.
We had front row seats. She was going to come down with a sign that said, Got Paxil. And a question mark. And on the other side, it would say, Donna Mike 316.
Did you, you missed my wife when she arrived moments ago. She was in this building. She had to make an emergency trip in here.
Why?
I forgot my dose.
Oh. Like, you forgot your pill today?
Yeah, and now I have, like, a stash here at the station in case I forget my morning dosage. Well, I'm only supposed to take it once a day, but they're real funky about taking it at about the same time.
You should have brought her in for a live edition of the Critics' Corner.
No, I don't think she doesn't like the Critics' Corner very much. Oh. She told me that. She doesn't like it, you know, she doesn't like it that much on the air, but she's fine. Everything is just fine. And she brought in a little Tupperware container with three or four extra, and then Rob put them in his desk. So Rob's actually got two of the, don't eat any of them, Rob.
So Rob's got your kit now.
Rob's got my attack up in his, only one?
Yeah, I tried.
Oh, you tried one?
Oh. It felt better.
Yeah, but it didn't taste good when you chewed it.
That's like, you know what that's like? That's like when a little kid forgets his Ritalin,
yes,
and his mommy has to come to that school. And
Lisa saw Laura up in the hallway, and Lisa said, it's like mommy coming with his medicine.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Well, Lisa, did you get your sign on the SmackDown last night?
Got Paxil?
I watched SmackDown. For a couple of seconds, I watched SmackDown, and I didn't see it. Did you get on with your sign?
I don't know if I got on, but I definitely had a big sign that says,
got Paxil on one side and it did say Dynamike 360 on the other.
You know, with all this publicity we're giving this medicine, I ought to get it for free. I haven't filled my second prescription yet.
Well, what's the big deal with what?
When
McMahon comes out and everybody yells at him, what?
I think it's a Stone Cold Steve Austin thing. I don't watch wrestling as much as I used to.
I love it when we try to get behind the great concepts of wrestling. Yeah, you know, as far as, what is this? What?
Well, the thing is, Vince McMahon comes out, whenever he says something, the audience in unison screams at him, what? And there's like a million guys in the audience with T-shirts on that just say, what?
There was a man of questionable intellect that just peeked his head in the door. Does he know? Does he know? Does he know the answer by any chance? No, he's not a big wrestling
fan. All right, hold on. Johnny from New York just gave me an instant message. It's Stone Cold's catchphrase.
Right.
Good catchphrase.
Clever.
Catchy. What?
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 How's it? What's the tone that it's delivered in?
What?
Lisa, could you?
That's about it. No, it's the whole. It's the whole crowd just goes, what?
20,000 people.
What?
He stands there and he goes. Right. He comes out and he goes, I am Vince McMahon. I am the greatest.
What?
If you say that again, I'm going to turn off the lights in this arena.
What?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I get it now.
First, we walked in and everyone's saying what. I said to my friend Holly that went with me. I go, what's up with this what?
What?
She goes,
the original.
There you go.
I'd have fun doing that, though, if I was, like, sure. Privy to it. I'd like to do it. I'd go, what?
Hello, Don and Mike. How are you doing, like, Pee Wee Herman?
What?
Hello. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don. I just wanted to see if you could elaborate on that blanket statement you just made about Frieda giving it out to just about anybody.
Well, I think the statement stands on its own merit, sir. Thank you for the call.
Thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Phil. Hello, Phil.
Phil? Hey, how you doing?
Phil?
How's it doing, you, dude?
Hey.
How's it going?
Fine.
Listen, about the Stone Cold?
Yeah.
What?
Actually, you know what? That's not really Stone Cold Steve Austin's catchphrase.
Who is it, then?
It's Rush Limbaugh's catchphrase.
Until he had his miracle surgery.
Dwight? Hey, Limbaugh, get great, everybody.
Listen, you guys are great.
I got my hearing back.
Thank you for the miracle cure. Thank you for the miracle cure.
Yeah, we found out it's Stone Cold.
It is Stone Cold.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Well, you know, what is used on commercials now for a long time? Like bald guys, remember when they were in vogue on commercials?
What?
Now you have guys that go, what? You know, that's like a big catchphrase on commercials. That.
Special guest.
Tony Soprano.
Special guest on 444. Hello.
Hey, Captain.
Hey, hi, Timmy.
Hey, what's happening, Captain?
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, check this out. I saw that sign that Lisa had that said, got Paxil.
Oh, you saw it on SmackDown last night?
Yeah, I was right there. I was in the arena.
Oh, you were in the arena.
Yeah. I saw it. I did not know that it was Lisa that was holding it. And my friend Jim said, hey, that sign's got Dynamike 360 on the front of it. You know, so he followed Lisa to the ladies' room, you know, to tell Lisa to turn the sign around.
Oh, because see, on one side it said got Paxil, and obviously Timmy, who was sitting behind, saw the sign that said Dynamike 360.
316, very
right,
good.
Right, right.
Thank you, Timmy.
Sure.
Bye-bye. There is formerly known as the newsmaker of the week.
Yes. All of this tomfoolery, I should point out, completely without my knowledge.
These
got Paxil messages, you know, these wonderful concepts just go out, you know, willy-nilly without anyone even so much as breathing it to me.
Well,
you know?
Mike, listen.
Got Paxil, you know, the joke at my expense, I should point out, going out to national television. Was that on nationally televised last time?
Yeah. And I would just like to point out, though, that I think we had the discussion about what to put on the sign, maybe like an hour and a half after you had already left the building.
There's nothing I can do about that, no. I suppose.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
I just want to let you know, I called that guy that called in yesterday.
Yeah.
And asked him if he had the new number. He just got mad, hung up on me, won't answer his phone now. I think he got to.
Oh, yeah, of course we do. The guy's not going to...
What?
The guy's not
going
to...
What?
All right, goodbye. Get out of here. Bye. Listen, I did have an awkward moment yesterday. Oh, I want to tell you about this. When I'm leaving the building, we're going down to the car yesterday, and another car in the parking lot pulls up next to me, and it's a couple of black guys, okay? And I think that they're just guys that are fans of the show, right?
Right.
And they go, hey, Don. And I walk over, And I go, hey, how you guys doing? And one of the guys gets out of the car, and he's got he looks like Puffy. He's mm-hmm. got the okay. he's got the fat farm hat on, and
right.
he's got the big the giant shirt and the pants that are way too big.
When did you start becoming nervous?
Well, he says to me, "You give me the Soul Brother handshake, right?"
Right,
and he
right.
says, "How you doing, my man? How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great." And he looks at me, he goes, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And I said, no, I don't know who you are. And he says, oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. And he goes to his friend in the car, and he goes, hey, this white man doesn't know who I am. And for the life of me, I don't know who the freak this guy is, right?
Right.
So I say, who are you? Turns out it's Terry's husband.
Oh, Keith.
Oh,
you know,
Keith
is very recognized. Sure. Well, now listen.
Has Keith undergone a makeover?
Well, now, and I said to Keith, once he said, and Terry works here at the station.
Keith, who wears a bow tie all the
See,
time.
See, now that's what I said. I said to him, now, Keith, who do I tell you resemble every time I see you? Louis Farrakhan.
Because he's got kind of the, you know, that look.
Because he's always, well, first off, he's very militant. And, like, he and I, for whatever reason.
I love that you base that completely on the fact that he wears a bow tie.
No, I've had some discussions with him where right. he's got some militant views. and I said to him yesterday, I said, now, Keith, how am I supposed to recognize you when you don't have your uniform on? You mm-hmm. normally got the button-down shirt and the right. little red bow tie. I've never seen you dressed, you know, in the casual attire. And then he said, to throw even more gasoline on the fire, he said, plus, you dissed me at the Mercedes giveaway. I said, oh, yeah. I didn't even see you there. He said, no, I was there. I said, really? He said, and I had my Louis Farrakhan outfit on, and I said, hello, and you walked right by me.
Oh, really?
I said, oh, uh-oh. My God, I had no idea.
So he was dressed differently yesterday.
Yes, he was casual yesterday.
Casual Keith.
So I've got to call Terry and make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, good idea. I've not had the long conversations with
Hello?
Keith that you've had.
Hey, so. Terry.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Don and Mike.
Hey!
Hey, did Keith tell you that he saw me in the parking lot yesterday?
Yeah, he did.
you know, baby, I felt really, really bad because I've only seen him, you know, in his Louis Farrakhan suit, and he was he had the hat pulled down yesterday.
That's right, baby.
And he had. Well, I called.
I know you.
I called Terry B.
I know you do. I know it's a regular thing. It just makes me laugh.
Do you know that? And as a matter of fact, now, I guess this is an indication of how...
You're a funny man.
I guess this is an indication of how bombed I've been at previous Christmas parties. Keith tells me mm-hmm. that in previous years, he and I have almost fought.
Yep.
Wow.
Is that true?
Yeah. You don't remember that, Don?
No, I've not heard of this.
Why
ever? No.
Why did...
No, not... You know what happened? It was at the Christmas party, and...
And I know that at the Christmas party, Don always, you do gravitate to Terry more than a lot of people. We've known Terry for a very long time. She's one of our favorite people here. And I know that you dance with Terry quite a bit at the Christmas party.
I believe it was at the Grand Hyatt, and I may have also been altered that evening. So, but the best of my recollection is that it never got past, like, spirited discussion, and you ended up hugging Keith. But you were raising your voices at each other at one point.
About what? What were we arguing about? Do you know Terry?
I think it's when you first called the Farrakhan.
No!
That's when you first discovered he looked like Farrakhan, and you mentioned it to him. And he was like, what?
And he didn't take it very well.
Right.
listen, it was nice seeing Keith again yesterday. And please apologize I didn't recognize him.
But you guys were kissing at the end of the party.
There you go.
Oh, no, and we were doing the big hugs yesterday in the parking lot.
Oh, that's
the
wonderful.
End.
That's
at
good.
The end.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Now you can go home and tell Frida you've got black friends.
That's right.
That's right.
You're right. Thank you, Terry.
All right, sweet.
Bye. Good tip, man.
Bye-bye.
He's funny. Oh, you're killing me.
She's great.
Yeah, I agree, baby.
She's great.
Yeah, it just makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh when you do that.
Hey, come on now.
I know. Come on.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I call my wife baby as well.
I know you do. I know you do.
Come on, baby.
You call me baby occasionally.
Come on, baby.
Baby.
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
Baby.
How's my baby?
That's something I picked up from the brothers.
I know. I know.
I mean, I picked that up years ago, and I wanted to say something to all the crackers out there. I just want to say to my fellow whiteys,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you, that works.
Baby works.
You call a woman, you call a girl, your girl, you call her baby, and I'm telling you, you're in. You're in.
I'll try that.
Occasionally I will, if I'm really feeling...
I need everything I can get right now.
With my wife, sometimes I'll even do the baby doll, but that's like the white version of just baby.
Hello, baby doll.
A lot of times... No, now, Mike, you gotta...
Hello, baby doll.
No, a lot of times it's just...
Baby!
Hey, baby doll.
Hey, baby doll.
Yeah.
Baby doll.
But most times it's just, hey, baby.
Hello, baby.
And I altered the baby at some point. I made the move, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, I made the move from babe, which is what I normally call my wife, to baby.
When I was dating, when I was younger, I used to use it twice. I'd say baby, baby. When I'd be, you know, starting to go out with a girl, I'd say, you know, don't get hooked on me.
Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me.
Because I would always quote Mac Davis songs always to my dates.
That was your move.
That was my line. Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me.
And you only quoted one song, right?
Yeah, it was always Mac Davis. Always worked.
Hey, baby.
Yes, my darling.
Baby, which do I call you most? Do I call you most baby or baby doll?
You call me baby. I think my dad calls me baby doll, too. My dad calls me Dolly. You call me baby. That's
baby.
It.
Yeah, baby. Oh, my baby. All right, sweetie. I love you.
All right. I love you, too.
All right. I'll see you.
Okay.
I'm just double-checking on that. On the whole.
Ask Siri and Peace to come over. I think that could solve my problem.
She wants more friends.
Well, except he's so militant. He's so Farrakhan-ish.
No, you know what? That's a good idea. I'll ask Siri to come over and Keith.
That'd be good.
All right,
thank
you. Then you can have some black friends.
Good. That's better than giving a 20 to strangers. I think that's more effective. People we actually like. That's good.
All right, sweetie.
Okay,
all right.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, baby.
Baby.
Oh, baby.
Baby.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, it's Pat out in Chantilly.
Hi, Pat.
Got a question for you.
Yeah.
That whole state thing yesterday. So, body parts in the states?
Yeah.
What's Virginia supposed to be?
I mean, Virginia itself. No, we did West Virginia.
I don't know if, you know, there are 50 states, and I don't think that we had all the body parts. I guess Virginia would be included in the D.C. metro area.
What about, like, lung cancer, since we are the tobacco state?
Virginia could be, or Kentucky.
Oh, right.
Or one of the Carolinas.
North Carolina, yeah.
The Carolinas probably.
Well, North Carolina and South Carolina are the firework burns.
Okay, somebody's been thinking about this all night.
All right, remember, that was yesterday's show, though. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Hey, buddies, how you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
I want to find out, how much GlaxoSmithKline stock did you guys purchase before you started promoting Paxil?
None.
None.
I don't own any.
You know, Mike just came in and announced that he was taking it.
I mean, I didn't make that decision either. It was a doctor that did that. My shrink.
You missed the boat.
What do you mean?
Well, if all the promoting, it's...
Well, I appreciate your confidence in our program, sir, but I would venture to say that our little discussions of Paxil are not going to be significantly influencing the stock market.
Honestly, I would think that most people
who would
hurt you over the last couple of days,
right,
would realize that perhaps
it's not working.
Yeah, you don't just swallow one and all of a sudden everything's okay.
No, it takes a while. It takes a good long time. Okay. You understand?
You're still falling apart.
Well, yeah, I am, and I hope this gentleman understands it.
Damn it! Hello, Mike. Don and Mike show. Hello. Hey, Mike.
What's up, baby?
Hey. Hey, baby.
How you guys doing?
Hello, baby.
I'm doing great.
I called that cat yesterday.
Yeah, you did?
My dog tried to sell me some weed.
God.
I ain't even lying. I ain't even lying.
He tried to sell you weed?
Yeah. I told him, I talked to him in my token black voice.
Okay.
And, like, I told him I knew one of his friends named Jerome. my token black friend.
Oh, I don't believe this for a second.
What's up, Paxilface?
Yeah, you know I know you're lying.
All right, I just wanted to call you Paxilface.
That's right, Paxilface. Boy.
That's all.
God.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this? Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Bill from Gaithersburg.
Hi there, Bill.
Hey, I went to SmackDown last night. I was wondering if Lisa was upset that Lita wasn't there last night.
Actually, I think Lisa.
You know, we didn't get much of a review from Lisa about being in the front. I mean, we got the poster thing, but we didn't get much of a review about SmackDown.
Isn't Lisa going to see Lita next week at the Garden? Isn't Lita going to be there?
It's going to be me and Lisa and Johnny.
Yeah,
what if Leah Remini and Lisa went to see Leah? Then it would be Leah and Lisa going to see Lita.
So next week at Madison Square Garden, it's Johnny, our New York producer, right, and Rob Spiewak and Lisa. They're all going.
They will all say in unison, "What?
What?"
Yeah, they're all going.
Is it now? What is the tone of the way it's said?
No, wait, hold on a second. Now, Johnny has just sent me an instant message saying that Lita is off for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
And Lisa is pissed because they're going to wrestling at the Garden next Tuesday night, and Lita will not be there.
Oh, she's avoiding Lisa.
Hey, yeah. Is that true? Hey, Lisa, come here for a second.
Well, at least she has the DVD I gave her for Christmas to keep her warm.
A WWF DVD?
A Lita DVD, wow, specifically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it sexual?
Well, you'd have to ask Lisa that.
So you're pissed that Lita's not going to be there?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just ruins the whole thing for me. I mean,
Have you watched it?
Have I watched the DVD?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Did you have a late night last night?
Maybe.
Yeah, she had a...
Of course I didn't.
She had a great night at SmackDown last night.
I have to work today.
Yeah, right. Sure you did.
I didn't. Okay, I had 3 beers.
Wow. At the arena?
Yes, 3 $8 beers.
Wow. Wow.
And how was the overall SmackDown experience?
It was great, actually. I've been there before, but never up that close. And the whole thing about holding the signs and everyone kind of jumping around, it's rather silly, the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You think so?
Well, you have just come to that realization.
Yeah. But
that
I
wrestling
had a great
is maybe
time.
A little silly.
No.
What?
Hey.
I had a great time. It was really neat. I got to see The Rock.
Could you
really
smell him? Could you smell the wrestlers?
Hey, who was the girl who had her pants pulled down and had blue underpants on?
You know what? I have no idea. I don't really watch it as much as I used to. She was the manager, I guess, of the Dudley Boys. I don't know her name.
The Dudley Boys, of course.
The Dudley Boys, Buzz. Hello now. Yes, sir.
Hey, now, that's Buzz's impersonation, Buzz.
That's why I was egging him on to do it there.
Tis I, but...
Man, I got to clear my... Sorry.
Tis I, Dudley Do-Right of the Mounties.
I wasn't expecting that.
There you
that.
Go, the multi-talented...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw you a curve.
No.
The multi-talented right. Buzz Burr.
Right. Hey, stay tuned for more love. Wow. Okay. Right, stay tuned.
Hello. Hello, Todd and Mike. Show.
Axel in the morning.
Oh, no.
Makes me happy.
This guy, Mike, he's
and
back.
When I'm loaded, I hump my
Didn't we ban him?
No, you loved him.
I don't love him anymore.
You've loved him in years past.
Well, I didn't like that performance. After all that time off, I didn't like that performance. He better pick up his game a little bit or he's going to be vetoed.
He's been your guy in years past.
I understand.
Oh, and let me give you a behind-the-scenes note here on what it's like to work at WJFK.
Oh, good.
Great!
You know, I get I'm the program director, so I get every day a copy of the discrepancy report.
Yeah, those are errors that happen as far as commercials that are played, technical problems.
And I love when people get personal on this. Like, for instance, I'm just reviewing the last week or so of discrepancy reports, and I see that on Thursday, 12/27, there was a live Sam Adams commercial, and there was no disc jockey to read it live, so they played a tape commercial instead. The next day, same thing, live read Sam Adams, played cart instead. Fitzgerald, a Toyota, cart not in studio. Okay, and it's not until people get back from vacation that it starts to get mean-spirited. Let me see, on Wednesday, which was the first day back, Wednesday, 1/2/02, I believe it was, this is Rob's entry. Yeah. Nice job with the taped in spots. It's easy and fun to write on the log with scotch tape. Now, this is nothing more than a personal attack on someone who works here.
Well, I know that explain this, because that might be a little confusing to people that don't know what you're
talking about. The log is a thick page. It's stapled pages. Every hour of the day gets a page. It tells you what commercials have to play and when. I know it's difficult to write in the commercials at times, so what our traffic department has done is photocopied breaks or members of commercials and taped this in instead of writing it in each time. And you ever try to write on scotch tape? It gets all smeary and stuff. Now, I realize this is saving time.
What Rob has to do is write by the commercial what time it's played.
Right.
And since the people in the continuity department are not actually writing the commercials on the log, what they're doing is just Xeroxing and taking the time to cut out little pieces of
cut
paper
and paste.
Yes. And tape them on the log.
As opposed to coming in here and writing them down.
And it's also taped loosely, so there's some floppage as well. Now, today is
getting
better.
Onto the next line.
Today is written in. Hmm.
So now we go to yesterday's discrepancy sheet.
I remember this.
Thursday, 1-3-2-0-2. Let me see, 5 to 6 a.m., nothing personal here. Please make sure all spots for America in the Morning are filled in. 5:18 a.m., spot A12, missing in action. Then we have an entry from Rob, written in giant letters. More taped in spots. Yay! Lazy New Year! Oh, wow. Then at 5:10, this is not you, right?
No, what time is that?
This is during the nighttime show.
Oh, that must be VZ.
Okay, so at 5:10, we have Priceline missing in action. 6:10, Priceline missing in action. And then just another general rave out here where it says, is the spot a 92 or a 42 for Brainy Braun? Jesus Christ! Work!
Oh, my!
So, the way it's written.
Now, that would be Jesus Christ, get to work.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, someone very...
Wow.
Very
Somebody's upset. Very angry here. This would be directed at our traffic department, correct?
And a lot of people, when you hear that, you think like it's when we give the traffic, like if the roads are backed up. The traffic department, these are the people who write the logs.
Yeah, the traffic, they traffic the commercials on the radio station, which have to be scheduled for certain times when they're going to play.
Now, this was a giant problem that I had to defuse a couple of months ago because for a while it was getting very, very personal with people writing stuff on the description sheet, like, how stupid are you? You can't schedule this stuff together.
We don't need that.
So I had to have a meeting to say, please, let's stop the personal attacks.
It is truly getting out of hand again. It appears that you're going to have to step in again.
Rob?
I can't imagine the work ethic back there would be lacking.
Rob, I want you to apologize to Andy Wright.
Very good.
Because these attacks, I believe, are...
Then we get his voicemail.
Well, you can leave him a message on voicemail.
And I shall.
Andy is the guy who makes the log every day.
He's our traffic director, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that he's hurt by...
Is he here or is he on vacation?
I saw him today.
You reached the traffic department at WJFK. I can't take your call right now. Leave your name and phone number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Come on now.
I'll record your message at the tone.
Sincerity.
Like you mean it.
Hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Be nice, Rob. Yeah.
Andy Rice? Rob Spiewak. Listen, about the traffic log thing, I realize I wrote some hurtful words over the past 2 days, and I'm really glad that you got back to writing the stuff back in ink, and I thank you that you're back on the stick for O2, and I'm really sorry about the hurtful words on Wednesday and Thursday.
Don't you want to apologize specifically for writing
I'm
yay?
I'm very sorry I wrote lazy. Yay, lazy new year, and I'll apologize on behalf of Jason Veazey, who wrote Jesus Christ work. There's no place for that in a place of business, and I'm sorry. Perhaps we'll get together for a cup of coffee.
Very good.
All right, thank you.
Andy, I'm sorry.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Andy. It's me, Don, speaking now. How's Dunkin' Donuts? Cheerio! That's very inside.
Very, very inside.
Very inside.
That's about as internal as it gets.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Talkers Magazine would say stay away from
stay
that.
Away from that.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding about that, of course. Andy is not having an affair with Donna.
No!
Even though they go to Dunkin' Donuts together.
This is true.
Like five times a day together.
That is true.
They,
simply an opportunity to get out of the building.
Constantly walking in and out together.
Right. Yeah. Those doesn't mean a thing.
Coffee.
I don't think they're having an affair.
Even though we have a machine upstairs.
I really don't think they're having an affair.
Right.
Even though they spend constant hours together. Right.
Well, I mean, if anything was happening, it would be happening between the jelly and the glazed.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I know what the Steve Austin thing is.
Oh, you mean the what thing?
Yeah.
All right.
He would ask them a question, and then before they could answer, he'd pull back the mic and say, what?
Mm. All right. Sounds like a well-thought-out bit on Steve's part.
I also have a movie for you, Don.
What's that?
It's called Series 7. You could pick it up at Blockbuster.
Series 7?
Series 7.
Series 7.
Right. And what they do is it's this movie in the entire thing is like a television show, like a marathon, and it's like Survivor, but with guns and knives on the streets and stuff.
All right. Thank you for thinking of me.
All right.
Thank you, my friend.
See you.
Bye-bye. See
is
you
it later. Reality?
I don't know.
No, it's a movie about reality TV gone too far.
Right. I watched a little of that Survivor last night. Because I just can't get into the college football. And I saw that Miami's killing Nebraska.
I watched it last week for the first time, and I was completely riveted.
Well, the guy who I've said is the typical Donna Mike listener.
You know what?
The guy with the overalls.
I had not watched one episode until I was on vacation.
His name is Tom the Goat Farmer.
And it was featuring Tom getting drunk with the guy with the tattoos. Yeah. Did you see that episode?
Yeah.
And I know you had mentioned him being the typical listener, and, you know, and he is from Virginia.
I know he is.
And it just, I thought it was about the most fracturingly funny thing I've ever seen. He is, I don't know what part of Virginia he's from. Because it's an obscure.
He's from Don and Mikeville, Virginia.
That's where he's from.
But, you know, when he was getting drunk, what did he do anything last night, too?
No, he made it to the Final Four.
Oh, wow.
I was positive.
Did the tattoo guy make it to the Final Four?
Yeah, the tattoo guy had immunity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I liked the tattoo guy. I hated him when I looked at him, and then I liked him after he turned out to be a real nice guy.
They kicked out the broad who was in the other tribe.
Okay.
So now they're down to they got one broad left and three guys left, and the final episode is next week. And
did they decide not to go with attractive women for Survivor Africa? Was that the rule this time around?
I don't know, because I've seen the women like on the CBS Good Morning show the day after.
When they're painted up?
Yeah, and they look pretty good. I think it's the fact that they're dirty and scummy.
Okay.
Did you see the episode, though, when the girl that was kicked off last week, she let Tom give her a bath?
No, I didn't see that.
Wow. Yeah.
Is Tom the redneck?
Yeah, Tom's the guy with the overalls. gave her a bath, and she actually took her top off.
Really?
Yeah, like let him see her tease.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I found myself going, I was watching SmackDown trying to see Lisa's sign.
It's still a good show. It is still a concept that works for me. I mean, I enjoy it. The only thing about it is, like, with what everybody's been through in the country, it's kind of reality programming is just, like, you know, big deal.
No,
no big whoop.
I disagree. I just, I think that I'm just sick of the format of Survivor. I'm ready for the new one. I mean, like, I watched The Fear Factor the other night, where they had celebrities.
Celebrity Fear Factor?
Yeah, and I like that. They had John Travolta's wife, that POA.
Oh, Kelly Preston.
Kelly Preston.
Ow.
They had Donny Osmond with, like,
so that was a repeat, I think.
1,000 bugs over his
scorpions.
Face.
Yeah, scorpions and centipedes and stuff and mealworms.
So last night I'm going, the college football game sucked, and I was watching SmackDown for a couple of minutes, and I thought, wait a minute, hold on. Survivor's on, and I finally figured out the best way to watch Survivor is just to watch the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Just wait till they go to tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
And there he was. There he was, the goat farmer.
That guy.
And if you ever wonder, any potential advertisers out there, you're wondering about the affluent, upscale audience that you will reach with the Don and Mike show.
That's right. That is the guy. That's the typical Don and Mike listener.
I think I've mentioned that before.
Right.
Get a picture of Tom the goat farmer.
Exactly.
From Survivor, he's the guy.
About 3 years ago, I stopped saying atypical, which is the opposite of typical, right. And Buzz corrected me on that.
At any time did the goat farmer yell hot number during last night's episode?
No, he didn't. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. Not only did that girl from Survivor, Kim, her name was, let the goat herder bathe her, but they were bathing in the stream with elephant dung, right?
Yes.
Ew.
That's right. It was floating right by them.
Ew. It was like floating down towards them.
Ah.
Go ahead, Mike. Say it.
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, is this Glenn the janitor?
Is this Glenn the janitor?
Of course.
No.
No, but you know I'm always going to call. I'm never going to stop.
Well, see, this is a normal call. You weren't doing any of your evil shtick.
All right. I can call it like a normal person?
Within reason.
No, but I do like it when you sing, Glenn.
Didn't you call yesterday, though, Glenn?
Yes, I also called and you didn't detect it was me.
I like it when Glenn does the da-da.
I love you. It is the Don and Mike show.
Thank you.
I'm like lounging. I'm like a lounge against the machine.
All right.
Can we hear that, guys?
All right, goodbye. Goodbye. I know we got a break, Rob, but I just want to point out from the instant feedback at WNEW.com. This comes from Lloyd in Iowa City, Iowa.
Hair of the dog, Lloyd.
Don and Mike, do you remember today is the 4th of January? The psychic from the Miss Cleo line told you guys on the 4th of January you would start to broadcast in Philadelphia.
Right.
I was wondering if you guys remembered.
No. Isn't that funny?
Right, thank you.
That's,
thanks for remembering.
Osama bin Laden.
We'll forward that to Ken, who we're still not speaking to.
Very good.
This is the longest feud we've ever had with Ken Stephens.
Yeah, it could be a very long, could carry well into spring.
I was talking to somebody about it today that I think we could probably go through. Oh, and we're down to 16 months since. I know we've not mentioned that, but we've ripped two more months off the calendar.
Absolutely. Ripped the knob off.
Entirely feasible that we could go through the next 16 months of working here.
Without speaking with Ken.
Without speaking to Ken.
Wow. Yes, our time here may be past.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't fear not, though. We will surface.
877-365-3636. That's your toll-free number. D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. New York City 877-692-1027. Philadelphia. Hey, you're enjoying some great classic rock right now.
Rock on.
And you're not hearing the show, even though we're being paid to be on that station.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Call 100 right now. Good luck, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show. They're flying high from one city to another and one man to another. Bedroom stewardesses. They wake up in some strange place and take the next flight out for more fun and new thrills. They're the girls who've got the class and that sexy wink in their eyes that says hello in a special way. Bedroom stewardesses. The girls who invite you out for a drink, and they've got a wilder imagination than you do. Just relax and let these girls make all the plans. You'll just love it, and they'll just love you all night long. Bedroom stewardesses. Don't miss Bedroom Stewardesses for the sexiest look at the most erotic globe-trotting girls who ever took your special order. Bedroom Stewardesses, rated R for adults. No one under 17 admitted without parent. From Independent International.
See you there.
Naturally, the Don and Mike Show.
And hold on, what was Marsha's version of Naturally? Typical.
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 Of course.
You know how we say Buzz has got like, when Buzz feels like he has the kick me sign on him.
Yes. Yes, something bad happens to him in an airport on a taxi.
He always says,
Naturally.
Well, we found out that when something bad happens to Buzz's wife, Marsha, like when she tried to check into a hotel recently and the room wasn't ready, she said, typical.
Typical.
Right. So that's, you know, they're like two peas in a pod.
Yes, we are. It's amazing. I've never known Marsha to ever complain. I've certainly never heard her complain.
We try to do it in a positive way. We used to just say, fine. Glenn, fine.
There you go. Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hothead.
Hello. Are you there?
That's Hothead.
Hello. Not Pothead.
Right.
Exactly. Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Well, all right, that line is dead. I'll try this one. Hi, Donna Mike.
I am caller 100.
There you go. That one's working fine. What's your name, my friend?
My name is John.
John, where are you from?
Fredericksburg, Virginia.
John, you won the 6 Feet Under prize pack. Check out the repeats of 6 Feet Under Wednesday night at 10 o'clock on the HBO. Go to AOL, keyword HBO. Get AOL 7.0 today. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Yes, do you like movies with gladiators in them?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I watch Gladiator quite often.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And I like Spartacus.
Yeah?
And I like Ben-Hur. And I like the Ten Commandments.
Me too.
All right, get out of here.
There's a few for your enjoyment.
Goodbye. All right, now we got to start sticking to a schedule today because we got Howie Long coming on and Chuck Stossel and the new low-budget Jeff R.D.
Right.
Oh, before I get to this catalog, when I mentioned Marsha.
Yes.
Something I wanted to bring up.
Very briefly, something that happened, I think, at the Christmas party, at the WJFK Christmas party.
Great party!
With your wife, Marcia, or maybe it was when we were in New York. I'm not sure.
Would have had to have been New York, because she didn't make the one here in D.C.
But at some point, now keep in mind, I have known Mike, I've worked with Mike for 16 years.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Worked with Rob for 10.
Right.
Worked with Charles Broyhill for almost 19 years, but I've worked with Buzz for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the longest-running relationship I have professionally.
Right.
As a matter of fact, with Buzz, I think even it's longer than my marriage.
Right.
So I've known Buzz and Marcia the longest of anybody on the show.
Right.
And I've always thought very highly of Marcia, mm-hmm. and I've always thought she's a wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm.
But she mentioned something to me that apparently at a party 20 years ago...
She won't let this go.
She
remembers this way back.
She caught me telling Phil that she was a bitch.
Phil?
Or the other way around. It was you and Phil where we're chatting, apparently, at a Halloween party.
Yeah.
And she overheard one of you, I guess. I don't even remember or know which one it was. Somebody, referred to her as a bitch. She can be rather opinionated, so, you know, I can see how somebody who didn't understand might draw that conclusion.
You are an even-tempered dude.
Yes,
so
I am.
So I'm at this this gathering over our time off, and
how dare you?
Out of the blue, Marcia just comes up to me and says, "Well, I haven't forgotten that party 20 years ago.
She never will.
When you were out on the terrace with Phil, calling me a bitch." And I'm like,
now did she walk out on you? Did she walk out when you were doing this?
It's 20 years ago.
Well, but I mean, it's harsh words can be.
I mean,
a woman is more than capable of carrying a grudge that long.
She was wounded. I don't know if it's a grudge, but she carries the wound. She carries the scar, and I guess always will. I tell her to let it go, but she won't.
Why don't you call her up and see if she'll come on the air?
All right.
Call her up.
Have you apologized profusely in the past? So you were in the middle of this discussion, and then she stepped onto the path. You have no memory of this.
You know, Mike, 20 years ago.
I understand.
20 years ago.
I can't remember anything 20 years ago.
At a Halloween party. Who the hell knows 20 years ago at a Halloween party? All I know is...
I'm Halloween. Can I speak to Marcia, please?
Halloween.
All I know is that she mentioned it to me.
When was the last time she brought it up to you?
Never.
Really?
Never. She's never brought it up to me.
Now, were there cocktails involved here, or...?
Oh,
of course, right. Always.
Of course. And that was back in the day, so maybe there was more than cocktails involved back in the day.
It's 20 years ago.
Got her, Buzz?
We're waiting for her to come to the phone.
I got you. Now, will you be able to put her on one of my lines here?
I've got her up right here.
Okay. Oh, great. Well, then we'll find out. We'll just get to the bottom.
Will she be able to hear Don?
Because, frankly, this has bothered me. And,
possibly not. Maybe you want to bring her up in there. Otherwise, I don't think she'll be able to hear you.
Can you put her on a request line? Just put her on line one or something like that? Robbie, what?
After, did you dial on your dial nine to get out line?
Yes.
Once she comes to the phone, I can transfer her in here.
Oh, great.
Very good.
Great. And it'll be, and it's especially...
Marcia?
She's on the other line. There'll just be a few minutes.
Okay.
Tell her, hurry. We want to talk to her on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm especially going to... I feel awkward. I'll tell you why I bring this up now, because I have to go to the doctor today, and the doctor that I'm going to...
Is in Marcia's office?
Yeah, Marcia is a nurse there in the doctor's office.
I see.
An employee, not officially a nurse.
And while, you know, everything...
She's a midwife, isn't she?
Yes,
really?
Yes, she is.
Technically her description, right.
Everything was fine when Buzz and Marcia came over to the house on New Year's Eve.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wiccan Princess would be the...
I like that.
The proper name for Marcia.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. I've got her right here. Hold on. Hey, Marcia?
No.
Hey. Hi, Marcia.
Hello.
Hi, Marcia. How are you?
Buzz is with Marcia.
Watch it.
Now, that's not a funny way to start the new year, Tom. When we say you're somebody, you always say, yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
There we are. Hi, Marcia.
How you doing?
Who is this?
This is Tom Gavin.
No. You got to say you're Marcia Burbank.
Marcia Burbank.
How are you, Marcia?
How you doing?
What are you wearing today because you're a pretty lady?
I'm wearing a skirt.
Good.
Hi, baby.
How you doing?
How do you like being married to Buzz?
Very good.
You know, pretty girls talk in a nice high voice.
Yes.
So why don't you be a pretty girl and talk in a nice high voice?
Hey, how you doing?
There you go. All right, hold on. Hold on, Tom. Robbie, you transferring Marcia in here?
He's pushing the buttons right now.
Got it right now. Hello. Hey, Marcia.
Marcia?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, baby. Listen, here's the deal. At some point over the holidays, when we were socializing with you guys,
You mentioned the thing at the Halloween party 20 years ago. And really, I'm in the dark on this. I was just mentioning to Buzz about that.
And I'm vague. What exactly? Was it Phil or was it Don who referred to you as a bitch?
I believe that that was Mr. Phil.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was Phil who referred to you as a bitch.
Phil?
And, and what was the circumstance was what? We were out on the terrace or what?
Yeah, you were on the patio,
mm-hmm.
And you were speaking, and I don't think you knew I was out there, and I hadn't been terribly pleasant. I was going through a difficult time.
She was.
Lots of crying, lots of emotional things.
Hormones,
we got that
fixed.
You stumbled, Marcia, you stumbled upon this? You walked out on the patio and overheard? Is that how this happened?
No, I was out there first, I think.
Oh, and you heard?
I didn't know I was there.
Oh, right. I see.
Gotcha.
So why, now if this individual, Phil, was the culprit, using the nasty word, did Don vigorously concur? Is that why there's a problem here? I mean, what happened?
Oh, there isn't a problem.
No, well, no, I didn't say there was a problem, Marcia.
You brought it up, though, and I swear to God, I don't even remember.
So I guess what we're asking is for you to kind of walk us through it.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, that's been a long time ago. I was very upset, and I went inside and told Buzz we needed to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yes, and you weren't very happy about that.
No.
And I said, well, I'm not staying at a party where people are going to call me a bitch.
And wow. Because she's m'lady. I took her home.
You honored, yes.
Yeah, party at Dave Robbins' house, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Halloween party.
That had to be a rocking party.
Yeah, it was.
At Dave Robbins' house.
Everybody was there.
Oh, yeah, everybody was there.
Okay, so...
But you know what I remember is that you and I spoke the next day, and we worked it out, and we've been fine ever since.
Well, you haven't let it go. The incident has stayed with you these 20 years.
Oh, not really.
No?
Well, you just brought it up again.
I'm sorry.
You mentioned it to me over the holidays.
Well, I don't know why. I would have. You and I have always gotten along well.
No, I've always been great for him. I mean, you brought it up. You said that time that...
Marcia, is there a chance you may not have remembered bringing it up?
I suppose there's that.
Oh. I think she was just paging through memories.
Oh, okay.
You know, shared memories.
Exactly.
Memories.
Okay, well, you know, I didn't call you the bitch.
She wasn't smoking any cigars, was she?
No, not this
no,
year.
Just
checking.
No.
Not yeah. then. Okay, well.
I haven't graduated to that yet.
Okay. All right, well, I my conscience can be clear that I didn't call you a bitch.
Oh, your conscience has been cleared for years.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And, well, then let me just say that Phil, he's a bastard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh wow.
And I think we knew that all along, correct?
Yes, we really all of us.
Yeah, I don't even know him, but what a jerk!
Yeah. What a bastard he is to call you a bitch.
Oh.
And you know what I should have done in retrospect? 20 years ago, I should have just thrown him off the terrace.
Right.
Okay.
I should have just thrown him to his dad that said, "How dare you?"
Yeah. Were you were you on like a rise or something? Well,
no,
you wouldn't remember.
Ground floor.
Yeah.
Ground floor. Right.
It's an apartment or something.
Yeah, right. It was an apartment.
Right. Back in the 20 years ago, we were all living in an apartment.
Right.
Yeah, but back then, still, I should have just give it him.
Yeah.
Just
give him a right cross.
Just mm-hmm. popped him. Okay. All right. Well, good. See you later for my appointment.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Very good.
Bye. Good. Thank you, Marshall.
All is forgiven.
Yes, it is.
Don't you want to give your wife some of that love stuff, Buzz?
Hey, baby.
I love.
See you later.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think she's forgotten anything.
No.
I don't know.
I think it's a fresh wound, as fresh as it was 20 years ago. Yeah, but at least she doesn't blame you. You're in the clear.
Yeah, right. And I didn't know because she, it was at that party where she just came up to me. She said, 20 years ago, you were out on the terrace with Phil. You got to call me a bitch. Huh?
Wow.
Really had no idea. Okay, so.
Now you know.
Something that we were not able to get to before the holidays. Something I do want to share with you now. What?
I'm lingering on that moment. It's just that was a special moment on the show. It really was.
It was.
Well, we very rarely get to hear Marcia.
I know. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm transporting myself back there and just wondering how that conversation must have gone.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Between Phil and myself?
Was this Phil a GM or something?
No, Phil was Karen Hand's husband.
Oh, okay. Oh. Phil Hand.
No. Hand was her name, and uh-huh. his name was, I don't know what his last name was.
Something else.
So he wasn't Mr. Hand?
Yeah. Although it pissed him off. That pissed him off, and we would all call him, hey, Mr. Hand.
Mr. Hand.
Because he would get pissed on two levels. Mm-hmm. First, because he was tired of the Fast Times at Ridgemont High stuff.
Right, of course.
Second, because it was like, he would take it like if someone went to Frank Gifford and said, hey, Mr. Kathy Lee.
Yeah, and back then, you know, 20 years ago, people were more sensitive about that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So anyway, listen, we got this. We got the. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the change of tone music here. We got a catalog for Christmas, because you know, I didn't know what to get some of you guys for Christmas.
Right.
And it is a celebrity memorabilia Christmas catalog.
Hey, how did the Xbox work out for you, incidentally? Did you use that? Is that out great.
Love it.
Humming?
Love it.
All right, good.
Love it. I'm addicted to NFL fever.
Because I was a little worried when I bought the thing. You know, I told you that when I bought the thing, they were, like, really into selling this warranty. Not normally selling it.
No.
Kind of selling it along the lines of the thing was going to break after the third use.
No, it works great. It's the best football game I've ever played. Thank you again. It was a great gift.
All right.
So, I don't know what to get for you in particular, Mike. I was wondering what to get for you. So I'm going through this catalog, and I'm realizing that the stuff that they're selling is just total garbage. Mm-hmm. And who would want to buy it? I don't know. But for instance...
Yeah, I've looked through that, and it's crap, most of it.
Let me tell you some of the items, and you can just guess at what the prices that they were asking for the items for Christmas. If you want... One of the loincloths that was worn by Tom Hanks in the movie Castaway. It's brown.
Yeah. Sure.
Very visible in film, highly distressed, as was Tom Hanks. How much did they ask for this?
Let's say $250.
Buzz.
Say $1,000.
$2,450.
Now, right there, it's just not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it. I mean, you know, neat item. Kind of cool. Right. If you love the movie.
How about The Sixth Day, a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
A sweater. A great turtleneck sweater that Arnold wore in the movie.
I'll say $500.
Buzz.
$750.
$1,375.
Rip off.
Let me see. Oh, here you go. I'm going to go right to the underwear section. Okay.
Ooh, I like that. Always good.
Although, hold on. Before I get to the underwear, there's a couple other things that are interesting. Mike, how much would you pay for a pair of white socks worn by Lorraine Bracco in the movie Medicine Man?
Oh, gross. I'd pay $100.
Buzz?
I'd say $250.
Well, now, these are a bargain. $15.
$15?
Wow. $15.
But you see, that's because surprising. Who wants white socks?
Right, yeah.
Okay, how about...
Who wants Tom Hanks' loincloth?
I bet they're not. You're right, they're yellow.
How about a smock worn by Kathy Bates in the movie Dolores Claiborne? Long sleeve turquoise cotton with small blue dot and floral motif.
$100.
Buzz?
$600.
Only $150.
Yeah, almost worth it. But, I mean, once again, a little obscure for my taste. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah,
and, you know, I bet, how can they truly authenticate the stuff?
A lot of it says photo included.
Well, you'd know.
Oh, a photo of white socks, though?
Well, I don't know. John Candy's pants.
Wow.
From the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Bigger than the smock.
Dark blue cotton with... Stand. Costumer's tag. Anyone want to guess the waist size on John Candy?
54.
He was big in that movie. I'll say even higher than that. I'll say 58.
Buzz?
I'll say 48.
62.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
A 62-inch waist?
62-inch waist.
Oh, my God.
Second pair of pants. There are two pairs of pants. One pair is blue cotton. The other's khaki. Candy was eating for two, himself and the state of California. How much are the pants?
$100.
Buzz?
I'll say $750.
Again, this is where it's out of whack. $1,150 for the two pairs of John Candy's pants.
What the hell are you going to do with those pants?
I don't know. I bet he bought them at Chalmers Big and Tall, though. That was the store where he shopped in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Really? Chalmers Big
Chalmers
and Tall?
Chalmers Big and Tall, yeah.
And he sold shower curtain rings.
That's right.
That's right.
All right.
Dell.
I got a whole session here with shoes.
I love that movie.
I'll save shoes for another day.
Okay.
Celebrity prescription bottles.
Now we're talking. Now, that to me is cool memorabilia. Wow.
All right. How about Courtney Love's prescription for, I guess,
Zovirax.
Valium.
A tranquilizer?
Yes.
I spent $100 on that.
Buzz?
Say $500.
It's $95.
Then I'd buy that. That's cool. I want that.
Reasonable.
Marlon Brando.
Ooh.
Unspecified medication.
No, see, because it's unspecified, I'm paying $50 for that. I'll say $250.
$110. Mm. Now, if you're really a Marlon Brando fan, you'll want to purchase...
And I am.
You'll want to purchase the bottle of anti-worms medicine for his dog, Tim Brando. You can buy the celebrity prescription bottle from the veterinarian.
$50.
No. Buzz.
$25.
$175.
Yeah, they're idiots everywhere.
So it's more for the dog than for the...
I don't get that at all.
The Marlon Brando.
And then my dog has worms.
And then you've got...
they done to my dog.
Let me see, you've got... I mean, there's so much stuff. There's
look how they massacred my pooch.
There's clothes from movies.
Is there underwear?
Items that were used in the movies, yes, but I'm going to go to underwear.
Okay.
Because we're on a real time budget here today. Mike... From the TV show MASH.
Oh, here we go.
How much would you pay for a pair of panties worn by Loretta Swit?
$250,000.
Buzz.
I'll say $500.
A bargain. $65.
Oh, my God. Under $100.
Oh, that's a steal.
Yeah. Oh, man. Are they not? They're not laundered.
I don't know.
If they're laundered, the deal is off.
Bookmark that.
Oh, God. Bookmark that page for me.
How about this? Share...
Cher's
thong.
Oh my God! You mean Cher's butt floss?
Right.
Oh, $1,000.
Buzz.
$750.
Again, I don't know the pricing. $125.
Hey, and these are order it.
These are worn items that come with
any stains.
I don't know. They come with a letter of authenticity, although how the hell are you really supposed to...
Every night a man would come around and put his thong down.
I mean, you give him the smell test, I guess. I don't know.
That would be when, after all these years, though, probably.
Let me see. How about Molly Ringwald's black lace tights from The Breakfast Club?
They would have to pay me. I'm sorry, they would have to pay me. From The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah.
I'd say $50.
Buzz?
I'll say $100.
$95.
Well, overpriced.
$95.
Now, I would pay more money for some of Ali Sheedy's dandruff.
Let me see. How about...
You know when she scratches her head?
How about this? Farrah Fawcett, 32C black lace bra.
$200.
And a picture of her wearing it so that you know it's the actual bra.
$200.
Custom-made bra.
Ooh, $250.
$450.
Mm-hmm. A little overpriced. Just a little.
Jamie Lee Curtis pantyhose.
With penis mitten?
From the movie House Arrest, yes, because she's a hermaphrodite.
Right. I'd say $75.
Yeah, you close, Buzz.
I'll say $100.
That's $95.
That seems to be their price. They just don't want to charge $100 for it.
Okay, here you go, Mike. Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah.
White jockey shorts.
Oh, here again, you'd have to pay off.
Priceless.
White jockey shorts?
White.
So that means that it's clingy stuff that has been down there with the yeast brew.
White men's jockey shorts worn by Rosie O'Donnell during the filming of...
Hold on, during the filming of...
Another
baseball movie?
Another Stakeout.
Okay, I'm going to say $150.
Buzz?
$25.
$195.
Yeah, worth every nickel. Crazy.
$195.
And now those, I guarantee you, even if they have been laundered, they have a stain.
Jesus Christ. Let me find one great one to go with at the very end here. Hold on a second. Kathy Ireland.
Some of these, as good as the prices are, would make excellent prizes.
Jacqueline Smith.
If we got a budget for these, we could get, buy in bulk, we could give these things away. A couple of $100, we could have Loretta Swit's panties and Cher's thong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there are people out there, it depends on who you're into, you know?
All right, how about this? How about hair strands?
Oh.
Like real pieces of hair?
Hair strands from JFK, obtained from his California barber. JFK's hair in clear sleeve matted... with color portrait of JFK and gold plaque reading Hair of John F. Kennedy, U.S. President, 1961 to 1963. Ready to frame.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that type of item, with all the DNA technology that we have today, would probably be $1,000.
I'm going to say $5,000.
$1,110.
I'd buy that.
Wow. But now here's where you're gonna find. Okay, now John.
No, I wouldn't, but I would.
Oh. John F. Kennedy. Okay. That's $1,100.
Right.
How about Abraham Lincoln hair strands from a lock of hair removed by Dr. Sabin Taft on the evening of his assassination? The hair was removed to gain access to the fatal wound. The most complete and exhaustive hair authentication package we've ever seen. Hair in clear sleeve matted with Lincoln photo and gold plaque reading, "Hair of Abraham Lincoln removed to access his fatal wound."
I'd say $5,000.
Buzz.
I'd say $1,000.
$2,000. Double the price of JFK.
The thing is, though, when you're talking about authenticated, how in the name of God can you possibly...
Let me give you one more. Because you got JFK at $1,100, mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln at $2,000.
Right.
Elvis Presley hair strands.
Here we go.
From famous 1958 GI haircut. Hair in clear sleeve, matted. Black and white of Elvis getting haircut. Gorgeous 8x10 color portrait. And gold plaque reading, "Hair of Elvis Presley from 1958, Army haircut."
I'd say because it's Elvis, $3,000.
I'll say $5,000.
Excuse me, I misplaced the comma. $14,000.
Yeah.
$950.
The dumbing of America, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
So you can buy hair from John F. Kennedy.
Or Abraham Lincoln.
Maybe. For $1,000 or $2,000.
But Elvis goes for
$14,000.
Because they know there's some idiot out there that's going to do that.
Yeah. Well, there and then.
You know what's really expensive that I bought in the last catalog is a lock of Telly Savalas' hair.
Very rare.
That's crazy.
From when he was very young.
This whole thing is nuts. Mike, how much would you pay for a pair of panties worn by Rita Moreno during a guest shot on the Carol Burnett Show?
Oh, I'd pay $1,000 for those panties.
I'd pay $1,000, but I'll only bid about $200.
This is embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
$8.
$8.
Oh, man.
Hey. Rita Moreno's panties.
$8.
She's on Oz now.
Yes, yeah, she is.
All right. Well, listen, remind me. I'll come back to this another time because it's got even better stuff. Like, look at all the stuff from Terminator 2.
Cool.
Like jackets and guns and stuff. And,
right.
They got a whole section on shoes.
Ooh, is that a Phoebe Cates picture?
Yes, it is.
Oh, look at that.
It is. It's a picture of...
Whatever happened to her?
Phoebe Cates. She's married to...
Kevin Kline.
That actor guy.
Yeah, living off his money.
She stopped acting.
I think her last movie was Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah. We got a break, everybody. We'll be right back, okay?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What they can expect from Jingle All the Way is a hilarious movie, a movie where they will be able to laugh from the beginning to the end. It will be great entertainment. They will walk out of the theater and say, "I'm so angry that I can't get another ticket right away because I want to see you the second time. And there's a long line here."
Call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
All right, that's your national number from D.C., New York, Salt Lake City, San Francisco, Las Vegas. Anywhere, get us live, 877-365-3636.
And the sign says...
D.C., your dedicated line, 202-432-1067. New York, 877-692-1027.
As heard on the radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Coming up on today's show, Howie Long in the hot seat.
Wow.
About his relationship with Julian Barbary on the Fox NFL show.
I'm just glad he's on the phone.
Next week on the show, it's Elvis's birthday.
Yeah.
And Elvis would have been how long?
Old. He was born in 1935, so he would be 67. Well,
probably wouldn't be as long as he was back when he was alive.
Elvis's 67th birthday show.
What with the Beatles and all.
Coming up also the debut
in the Worms
of Porno Football.
All right.
Porno Football coming up next week on the show. Now let's get to a Friday favorite.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me. It's time for Don and Mike to play the button.
Let's open the door, and I'll tell you right now that America's number one action star has a movie that's opening. I think it was supposed to open.
Right after
September 11th.
Dankeschön.
But what they've done is they've pushed the release date back.
Yeah. You're talking about collateral damage.
It's February 8th. Is that when your movie opens?
Yeah, Dankeschön. February 8th. It's going to be a good action picture that I hope that people come out and see it. Because if you go to the theater, you'll have a good time. And it should be lots of fun for all of you. Collateral Damage. It's going to be my first picture of 2002 when I play Gordon Brewer.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, last I believe on the show.
It's a character similar to the one I played in Commando in 1985 when I was Colonel John Matrix.
Somebody must have given you a page off the internet.
You mean a filmography? Yeah, that's good. You're looking well. I've got broken ribs from this motorcycle accident.
Yeah, that's the last
that
time
I had in the desert.
The last
with
time you were
the
on
kids.
The show.
Yeah, I've took the kids into the desert. I should stick to making pottery, huh? That's right. I should stick to making the pottery for the kids.
I forgot about the story we had that Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm so stupid.
Actually, goes to an art class in Beverly Hills and makes pottery.
That's right. At the pottery is the good art that I do with the kilns and the pottery wheels and everything I'd make would turn into the ashtray. No matter what I'd make, it would always be an ashtray. Okay, Buzz?
It's okay, Arnold.
How are you doing?
Right, good. How are you,
How's
sir?
That wife of yours?
Oh, she's great.
That's good.
Thanks for
good
asking.
To see all of you.
Didn't I hear you out in the hallway call Marcia a bitch before?
I did no such thing. You're a liar. You're trouble. And I can fix you with that because I've got the exploding muscles still at my advanced age, even with a bad heart. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of years ago, they said, Arnold, we're going to take you in and have to give you a heart transplant.
Yeah.
But not necessary. So I took the kids on the motorcycles in the desert that was fun with the speeding of the bike. And I fell. And bruised and broke several of my ribs. They had to take me to the hospital. And I said, I'll be skiing in no time. Because I'm strong. And I'm a powerful guy, right?
How come they had to... You give me the reason. I know the answer, but you tell me if you know the reason.
Yeah.
Your movie Collateral Damage, which has to do with you chasing down terrorists.
Chasing down the terrorists. I play the character of Gordon Brewer, who is, gets into all these crazy situations with the shootouts, with the terrorists that are trying to blow the things up. And I fix it at the end because I'm kind of the renegade guy who doesn't follow orders.
Aren't you a firefighter in this movie?
Yeah, I'm a firefighter in the movie.
I think so. So
thanks for telling me.
Maybe you could explain to me. The movie was, I believe, scheduled to open the first part of September.
Yeah.
How come the release date was pushed back to February?
Well, the thing is that the movie has too much stuff that reminds people of the tragedies that happened to the thing.
Very
in the
city. Good,
that's
Arnold.
Why.
Good.
That's why. You know, I grew up in a small, isolated village in Austria. And that's when I went into showbiz. But I think this is a picture that the whole family will be able to enjoy. Mm. You can take the kids. You can, if they're old enough, because they've got the crazy explosions and stuff. But it's good. It's almost like Predator when I played Major Alan Dutch Schaefer. That was a big fun.
So why is
not to be confused with Running Man when I played Ben Richards. That was a great character.
So why is the climate better now than it was 3 months ago to release a movie about terrorist attacks?
Because the picture's been edited so as not to, remind of the things that went to the bad. And if they get the editing out of the things that will make the remember.
How long is the movie going to be? 12 minutes?
Probably very short compared to its original running time. You know, my movies aren't long because people want to enjoy themselves and go out to have food after the fiction.
pictures. And so I don't make the big 3 hour stupid movies, you know, with the thinking and lots of lines and dialogue. I make action pictures.
Like, for instance, let me ask you, you mentioned the thinking movie. I saw...
Like Red Heat in 1988 when I played Captain Ivan Danko.
I saw a movie...
Boston State Police.
My wife dragged me to see the movie A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah, that's a stupid movie.
With Russell Crowe.
That's the kind of picture that I don't make because it makes people think, and that's not why you go to the movies, you know? If, you know, I just want to say the studio gave me a line that I want to share. If you don't go to see my picture, the terrorists win.
Really?
There you go. Dankeschön. You know, it reminds me of, you guys work well in here. It's, you're like twins in 1988 when I played Julius Benedict. That was my character. It was lots of fun. Not to be confused with Total Recall when I played Douglas Quaid Hauser. The mouse intelligence.
I don't know why it's funny to hear the characters' names, but it is.
And then, of course, there was Kindergarten Cop when I played Detective John Kimball. I was a good character then, and I did the last action hero in the role of Jack Slater.
What about the one where you were pregnant?
Oh, that was Junior, when I was Dr. Alex Hess. That was close to my name.
Dr. Hess.
Like Rudolph Hess. He was a Nazi. That was big fun. And in True Lies, when I played Harry Tasker. Yes, if you'll notice, all of my movies that I have, I try to have the American names so people forget that I was born in a little town in Austria. And that's hopefully they'll forget my father's Nazi roots. That's why I say if I'm going to make a movie, if I'm you're my producer, you make sure you give me a good, strong American name.
Well, then why did
like you... In End of Days, when I played Jericho Kane.
Well, that's not a strong American name.
Well, when I played Mr. Freeze in Batman. Do you remember that? That was great. And, of course, I was Dr. Victor Freeze as well as Mr. Freeze. That was it. And then in The Sixth Day, when I played Adam Gibson. That was my favorite role of the year. I enjoyed it. And, of course, look for me in True Lies 2 in 2002 when I bring back the role of Harry Tasker.
So, listen.
And in 2003, you know, Terminator's coming back.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
The Rise of the Machines. And I'll be the Terminator again.
Now, does the Terminator have a name?
Yes, T-800. I'm the T-800 robot. Sarah Connor, I'm the T-800. I've been asked to take you back to the planet with me. And I've been asked to make sure that you can't get killed by the T-830. Bad robot that's evil that turns into metal.
I'm looking at the list of today's hottest actors.
Yeah.
And I would say 5, 6, 7 years ago, you would have been the number one star in America.
Yeah, that'd be back around at the time of Eraser, when I played U.S. Marshal John the Eraser Kruger.
Now I'd have to say ahead of you, you've got Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise.
Yes. The fags.
Russell Crowe.
Definitely. Oh, come on, Russell Crowe's. Oh, so he makes the gladiator. It's good for him to walk around in a skirt. Let me remind you of the fact that I was Conan the Destroyer. Do you remember that when I was Conan the Destroyer?
Yeah.
I was the first one to get the sword fights and wear the armor and get back in that. So it's all been done before. I've done most movies you can think of course.
I would think that maybe, Buzz, would you still rate Arnold in the top 10 box office draw?
If he's in the top 10, just barely at this point.
Let me remind you of my role in Red Sonja when I played Calidor. That was a very big role for me. It was very exciting, you know. I've done, of course, I used to be known as Arnold Strong. That was my first name before I changed it to my original name, which is Schwarzenegger. And now I was Arnold Strong for the Pumping Iron movies.
Now, what about all the stories and the tabloids about you banging the other chicks?
Yeah, that's true. I like to bang the extras, not the stars. Because, you know, can I walk you through it?
Yeah.
Okay, you got time?
Sure.
Okay, what it is I'll be doing the picture. I have to talk quietly now. And I'll do the picture with the stars. And then afterwards, I'll say to the extra, I'll say, would you like to come in the trailer? Well, I smoke a cigar, and then I won't even light the cigar, and I'll bang them. I'll bang them hard. I'll bring the extras that look kind of, you know, wide-eyed to think I'm a star. And then I'll bang them in my trailer.
Now, what about Maria? She's okay with that?
Well, you know, she's got the Kennedy teeth that are taking over the body with the big jaws.
You know who else has got that? That is that the that broad that just got the job on Fox?
Yeah, that's a Greta Van Susteren.
Yeah, she might as well
she's
be...
She's a good Deutsche chick.
She might as well be Maria's twin.
She's very good.
She got that big, gigantic Jay Leno chin and mouth.
I should tell you that I've got another picture in the works for 2004.
Oh, you do?
That, yeah, I'd be going... I make a football movie that I'm excited about.
Really?
Yeah, I'm working on a bio picture where I play a great 20th century man.
Who's that?
Sam Huff. I'll be Sam Huff, the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, how you doing, quarterback? So it should be good. But that's, it doesn't interfere. She has her career, and I have my pictures that I make, and so she doesn't interfere, because that's not the way it is, and she doesn't go out of the house without with the pants on.
Yeah, that's another story in the tabloids that I guess is true, that you don't allow her to leave the house. You don't allow her to leave the house wearing a dress.
Yeah, you don't need to wear the pants, you know, like a guy going to shop for the food for our kids.
I know, I had it backwards. You make her wear a dress. You won't let her
wear a dress. Yes, over the knee, because, you know, she's not a hooker. So I say, don't wear the pants looking like a guy, and don't wear the skirts that go up, you know, near your crotch. That's not good. Put on some nice, sensible skirt like Ann Curry from the Today Show.
The movie Collateral Damage.
Hello.
It does deal with terrorism.
You know, in 1979... I played Lars, a gym instructor, in the movie Scavenger Hunt. That was one of my great pictures. You know, yeah. Detective John Kimball wore pants. My wife is not going to wear the pants.
No. The new movie, though, it does, in fact, deal with the topic of terrorism.
I play Gordon Brewer in the movie Collateral Damage, and I'm a renegade. That's why it's tough. I can give you the synopsis?
Synopsis
of the picture.
Please do.
I'm the guy that's firefighter gone crazy, and then I get into crazy situations with explosions, and then I go kind of crazy, and so the crazy things that happen are part of my life, because I don't listen to my bosses that are telling me how to do the job, and then I save the world. Like I have in many of my pictures.
Well, I understand. I've only seen the trailers.
I saved the world in True Lies when I was Harry Tasker.
Right? I understand. I've seen from the trailers, I think, that you're a firefighter, and apparently your wife or a family member is killed by a terrorist. And
I kind of go bad. Badass.
You find this terrorist somewhere in the world.
I hunt him down.
You're the only guy that can find him.
Because I'm so smart and brave. Like all my characters, you know that? That's like when I was Ben Richards in The Running Man. And they're all chasing me, you know, the guy with the Family Feud guy. Richard Dawson sends them out to kill me, and Ben Richards kills all of them. I fixed their wagon, huh? That was pretty good.
Oh, Arnold?
Yeah, Dankeschön.
Someone from the motion picture company's on the phone for you. I don't know if they want to give you advice on what you've been saying on the radio or what.
Hello. Oh, yeah. Let's see. That's my translator. Hold on a second.
Well, he's not a translator, then. You should actually put out. Yeah, yes, sir. Danke. There is one translator, should that thing? Yeah. Okay. Okay, guy. Thank you. I'll say it.
If you don't go see Collateral Damage, the terrorists win. Dr. Shine. I'd like everyone to see that. Oh, he's ringing up again.
Okay.
Studio.
You said them? Yeah. Und das mit reiche Pippen sei der Botan. Jeden alles da, die Degen, vier Traum, vier Toten. Vier Tasse Pizza. Ja, das ist der Danny Mike. Das ist der Danny Botan. Ich dann Crest Toothpaste. Dr. Shine. Dr. Shine. Bitte.
Bitte schön.
Toilette.
God bless America.
Oh, yeah.
They told me to say that.
You should.
I'd like to say I'm deeply, deeply sorry for everything that's happened to this country. And I love this country. And thank you for the George Bush president and Mayor Giuliani.
You need the publicist to call you and tell you
sometimes
that?
Sometimes he calls to remind me when he's listening to the show. He's right down in the hotel. He's got you on. And he told...
Oh, there it is again.
Man.
Tell him to make it fast. We got a break.
Einen Zeiten. Oh, they said nine. Yeah. Beer. Das Erwarten doch. Reins ins Wort entscheidend haben. Jawohl. Da, bitte. He said, it's going great. It's a good interview show. I said, of course it is, because it's my time.
All right, Arnold.
Go see Collateral Damage and God Bless America. If you don't see it, the terrorists win.
We are going to play Low Budget Jeopardy now. We will take the first two calls.
Of course you will. Arnold's here.
877-365-3636. That's the national number from anywhere. Be one of the first two calls right now.
Don't call me Arnold Strong. That's my old name.
Right back.
And Mike Show. You know something? After watching the mulatto shake it, I can absolutely understand why Brazil is totally devoted to my favorite body part, the ass.
Full-time entertainers, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You guys are funny. Yeah, you got the good thing going on with that. I was talking to my agent during the break of the commercials.
Yeah?
He said it's going fine. What do you think? I think it's going well.
Your appearance on the show?
Yeah, he said it's going well. That's not my translator. That's my agent.
Your agent.
But he speaks fluent German. So we were talking, having a good time.
Yeah, no, I think you're doing very well.
Thank you very much. I'm having a good time. This is fun. I like this. It's like comedy, like when I made Jingle All the Way and I played Howie Langston.
Let me share a joke with you.
With Sinbad.
A joke.
Yeah.
That maybe you can tell. I got this joke from Muhammad Ali.
Okay, go ahead.
A couple of weeks ago, he told this joke in front of a group of people.
All right, go ahead.
You've got a black.
Yeah.
Okay,
I like that.
A black,
when you say you got a black.
A Hispanic.
Yeah.
And a Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican, Mexican, and a black.
Yeah, a Puerto Rican, a Mexican, and a black in a car.
Ah.
You got a black?
In a car.
A Mexican?
Yeah, I'm old.
Puerto Rican. And a Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Who's driving?
The policeman.
He knew it already.
Yeah. I wish we had beer. The toast your joke. Your racist joke. That's good. That's good. I like those kind. Those are my favorite kind of jokes.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Let's just turn off the music for a second. Let's go off air for a moment, please.
Show me off air.
Let's go off air for a moment. Let me put the button to go off air because.
How are you doing?
Arnold?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, you laughed at that racist joke.
Da, jawohl.
Your dad was. Your dad is a Nazi,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's good. It's alleged. I can't say for sure, you know. But between you and me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Sure.
Okay.
I still believe in the master race.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Very good. We're going to go back on your show now?
Back on the air. Let's go.
That's the bad side of ours.
Let's go back on the air.
There you go. Hey, good to be back. Go see Collateral Damage as the terrorist win.
We're back on the air.
Yeah.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger and Let's Play.
Like Junior when I played Dr. Alex Hess.
Let's play Low Budget Jeopardy.
This is I'm in Low Budget Jeopardy. Now I'm in the studio is one of the two challenges. This is a market researcher from the town of Alexandria. Let's say hi to Chris Christofko.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, LQ. Arnold.
Hi, Chris. And now entering the studio is another challenger. This is a student from Fort Washington, home of Gordon Liddy. Let's say hi to Jamal Cotman.
Hello, Jamal.
How's it going, Arnold and LQ?
Hey, my friend.
And now entering the studio is the king of the Jeopardies. Remember, Chris and Jamal, don't mess with him.
Screw it,
LQ. Or he'll break you apart in two, okay? And let's say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you very much, Arnold. And hello, Jamal. Hello, Chris. Guys, don't forget, answer in the form of a question. Live with my mom wearing clip-on ties. Super Mr. Guy, call me Alex. As we're playing the game, that's LQ or Quizmaster.
I'm fine.
And I always call him Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Damn the rips.
Oh, your broken ribs.
My ribs are just, they're killing me. I'm on fire on the side. It's bad, you know, because the steroids.
You need some Vicks, some Perk?
I got all the medicines that I'm supposed to take. Oh, there's the phone again.
Oh, all right, hold on a second.
Is it phone?
It's
ask him ties from Gondines of Gold Exploding. Who's he scrolling? Time to survive and found the game.
No, he did that.
Gabriel, yes,
he's German, though.
Okay,
no, he's Australian. He's Austrian.
Austrian.
Snaps me during full time. Ask him full time, Peter.
But you heard him say he believes in the master race.
Yeah, but
see, he doesn't know that he was on the air at that point.
He's not very bright.
I found it's Robin Steven. Gabriel. Okay. Danke, wie geht's?
They said, go see that collateral damage or the terrorist win again. I told them I'd said it a lot of time. That was Gordon Liddy.
Got the message.
Oh. He's a big fan.
Here are your categories, guys.
He was really on the phone.
Gordon Liddy was.
Yeah, calling during one of his commercial breaks. I like him.
I know you do.
He's crazy.
Here's your categories. They are NFL playoffs, in or out.
Hey, that's good. I like football.
Dead in 2001.
That's scary.
Celebrity news.
Yabo.
New on DVD home video.
Okay, snow.
And states and capitals.
States and capitals, that's crazy.
Okay, so it's NFL playoffs, in or out.
Yeah.
Dead in 2001.
That's the kind of morbid.
Celebrity news.
Okay, I'm a celebrity.
New on DVD, home video, and states and capitals. And Chris, we will start with you.
Good luck, boys.
I'll take states and capitals for one.
All right, it's the capital of the great state of California.
What is Sacramento?
Nine.
Yay, Sacramento! Yes.
No.
Yes, it is.
Okay, $1 for you, Chris.
States and capitals for two.
Why'd you say nine?
I thought he was wrong, and I wanted to be a smart guy. I thought it was L.A.
For two. It's the capital of New Jersey.
What is Trenton?
Yeah.
Nine.
Three.
Please. Wait, hold on. He got it right. What did you think it was that time?
Newark.
No, I'm sorry. It's Trenton.
Okay, $2 for you, Chris. You got quite the brain.
And for three, it is the capital of the great state of Florida.
What is Tallahassee?
No, it's Houston.
Houston is in Texas.
No, Bush is the governor.
You dumbass.
Let him start and throw him.
Hey!
Okay.
Hey!
There you go. Hey. Okay, $3 for you, Chris.
I'll take new on DVD home video for one.
None of Arnold's movies, incidentally, are in this category. Stars, Nicole Kidman. Oh.
Okay, Jamal, it's your chance to steal the game thing.
What is Moulin Rouge?
Moulin Rouge.
$1 for Jamal. Okay, select again, please.
$2.
Stars, Marlon Wayans.
Ooh.
Oh, gotcha.
Hey, Chris, your chance to steal it back.
What is Scary Movie 2?
Correctamundo.
$2 for Chris, the brainiac. Okay, go ahead.
I'll take DVD for three.
Good luck on this one. Stars David Duchovny.
What is Evolution?
That's a good pull.
Wow.
Hey,
wow.
That's a good pull.
David Duchovny's a fake.
He's not a fag. He's married to a Taya Leone.
Yeah, Taya Leone. She's a bow wow. She's not like Shriver. Shriver's got good mouth. A real good mouth, if you know what I mean. Anna likes oral pleasure. I do. What's the matter? You're choking to death. Sorry, okay. Are you okay? All right.
You're choking
okay.
He's sitting up. He's sitting down.
All right. Are you? All right, you okay? Okay.
Lord Quizmaster is not feeling well.
That's a first on the show.
Arnold, you've set up some kind of a
That's how I knew that that's how I know the bit has gone well. That's good. You better see a doctor. You better see a doctor about that. We're going to let him compose himself.
Mopping his face.
I've never made the guy throw up laughing before. That's good. That's pretty good. Okay.
Blue chunks.
No. I didn't blow chunks. Oh,
You sucked in the Coke as you were taking your drink.
Having my beverage right as you were talking about Maria's mouth.
And the oral pleasure.
it was too much. I mean, I know it was inaudible.
I know. I wish, next time you do that, please do it on the air so I get the full credit. Please. There we go.
I could not breathe.
Okay. I got a phone call.
It's red as a beef.
It's not a question of giving you your credit on the air. I was sitting there, I realized I had the stuff
caught in my esophagus or whatever it was.
Heimlich.
The studio again.
It's important in Einen Heimlich.
I'm fine.
Is it Heimlich? December, the dog is my pizza.
That's what's Gordon. He said I should have given you the Heimlich. But there was nothing in there except your own goo.
No, there was nothing. It was just a beverage. I just took a drink of the beverage.
And you had the crazy thing go down the wrong way.
The laughing.
Okay, where were we in the game?
I don't even know.
That's it. But she does give oral pleasure.
Salute.
All right, Chris, are you in control?
Select another category.
Okay, select, Chris.
I'll take NFL playoffs in or out for one.
All right, I'll give you the name of a team. You tell me if they're in or out of the playoffs, okay?
Okay.
For one, the Philadelphia Eagles.
What is in?
They're in. In like me. I like to put it in. Okay, Chris, you're in control. He's not drinking his soda anymore.
NFL playoffs for two.
Cleveland Browns.
What is out?
Out, yes, right out.
$2 for Chris Kristofko.
NFL playoffs for three.
Seattle Seahawks.
What is in?
Nine. Jamal, it's your chance to steal.
What is out?
Nine.
Fooled ya. Won't know till the weekend is over.
That's the trick question, Jamal. You jumped in the trap with the bait put out there. Come on. I'm a Seahawk. Seahawk.
I got you.
Okay. Hey, Chris. Chris, you're in control.
Celebrity news for one.
All right. You just signed a new contract to be on morning TV. Pays her $13 million a year.
Who is Katie Kirk?
Right.
Yeah, nice piece, too. Great legs. Nice long legs. I'd like you to wrap them around my cheeks. Okay, Chris, you're in control.
Celeb news for two.
She was arrested for shoplifting.
Who is Winona Ryder?
Yeah, of course.
$2. I like that Couric, though.
You like Katie Couric, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I don't like that curry.
Curry,
no. She wears the long skirts down to the ankles. No, Chinese. All right, go ahead. Select again.
Yeah, no, not part of the master race,
nine,
right?
Nine.
For three, celebrity couple announced they were divorcing after less than a year of marriage.
Who are Tom Green and...
We gave you plenty of time.
Damn it.
Jamal, it's your chance to steal.
Or Tom Green and Drew Barrymore.
$3 for you. Way to go. I divorce her, too. She looks like she smells.
Yeah, she looks like S.
Yeah, she looks like she rolls in S. Goes to sleep in it. Okay, Jamal, you're in control.
Okay, dead in 2001. This is the last category on the big board. Dead in 2001. Well, for one, here you go. Well, at least he wasn't married to Yoko.
Who is George Harrison?
Right.
$1 way to go, Jamal. Select again.
Two.
For two, here you go. He was a grumpy old man.
Who is...
Nine. Chris, your chance to steal.
Who is Walter Matthau?
Nope. I was thinking about Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon. He's the one that bought the farm.
Right.
He will be missed. Good guy. Big drinker. Okay, Jamal, you're in control.
For three, he was also a grumpy old man. TV's first lovable bigot.
Chris, your chance to steal.
It was Carol O'Connor.
Carol O'Connor.
$3 for you. Way to go.
That's right.
That's the end of the first round of the low budget Jeopardy thing.
It sure is. And Arnold, who's got what here?
Chris Kristofko from Alexandria has the big dollars with 20. Jamal over on the other side from Fort Washington, home of Gordon Liddy, has $5. Way to go, Jamal.
I would just like to point out that for those of you, the home listener.
The home viewer.
While I was having my attack there, you will notice that none of my friends rushed over. To find out. Rob patted me on the back.
Yeah.
To find out what the hell was going on.
That's right. Just like the circus, the show must go on.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I was worried for a second there. I thought you were passing out some sort of alien.
You were just red. If you turned blue, it would have been right there.
Yeah, you're having trouble getting oxygen, man.
Yes, I was.
I'm in Heimlich.
All right, guys. Here you go. Jamal and Chris, you both made it to the final round. Oh, in the category, it's a good one today. Guess that rock star's bra size.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Don't forget, we need you to answer in the form of a question. She's got nice ones, no doubt about it. From, no doubt, the bra size of Gwen Stefani. Don't forget, answer in the form of a question, fellas, and
Good luck.
All contestants on Low-Budget Jeopardy will receive my latest video travelogue, Austria, My Austria. This intimate travel video shows you my favorite country from A to Z, from the Alps to the beautiful towns where the local peasants make the cheeses and the little wooden baubles for the tourists. And I'll also show you Hitler's villa, where the crazy Nazis lived. I hope you enjoy Austria, My Austria. Now, have a glass of schnapps. Nine. Now back to final Low-Budget Jeopardy.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me. It's time for Don and Mike to play Jeopardy.
Okay.
Here we go. We want to go to Jamal first, right?
Yeah, he's got the small amount of the dollars.
Jamal from No Doubt, the bra size of Gwen Stefani.
What is 34B?
Right on.
Way to go. You double your score to $10, Jamal. Maybe you win, huh?
Right on. Now, Chris, if you have the correct answer, you're the big wiener.
What is 34B?
Yeah, he got it too.
That means Chris Kostosko, you're the big winner on the Low Budget Jeopardy. Congratulations. I said congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hey, he's so shocked. He didn't know he was going to win, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, come on. You having a good time?
I'm having a great time.
There you go.
34B, that is the bra size Gwen Stefani. Jamal, parting is such sweet sorrow. Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. And Chris Alderson, a cornucopia of gifts and money for you. Here is Arnold Schwarzenegger, leader of the master race. to tell you more, Arnold.
First of all, Chris, you double your score to $40, okay?
Excellent.
Let me throw in the 25 bonus for 65.
Nice.
Are you having a good time?
I'm having a wonderful time.
Excellent. And you don't go away with nothing, Jamal. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here are your prizes. You have won the Wheel of Intoxication from Boingo Games.
Nice.
Go to www.boingogames.go. Wait a minute. www.boingogames.go. Boingog Games.
Boingogames.com.
.com. Go to your game today, okay?
Right.
Wheel of Intoxication. It gets the party going. But wait.
There's more.
You've won a 6 feet on the prize pack. 6 feet on the prize. The 6 feet on the past season. Encore. Airs every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Only on the Hobo HBO. Go to L-A-O. Go to Owl.
AOL.
Keyword HBO dot. Get L 7 points today. Thank you, and thanks for playing the game.
How do you possibly manage your script? You can barely...
With my translator.
You can barely read the commercial.
The translator helps me, speaks it, translates it into German, with the Austrian dialect, and then I read the lines. And then we go over the take after take. But they don't put... Hold on, he's calling.
On the phone. Hey, Chris and Jamal, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Thank you both for listening. I know you guys would have come to my assistance if you could have.
Yeah, ja, das ging immer von Freien. Lass uns auch zu voten. Schreien ins Freien! Schnell! Ja, boy, bitte.
What was that?
Make sure you go see the collateral damage of the terrorists win.
Right.
And God bless America.
Right. Arnold, always remember, never forget, Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
If Oral Pleasure. And it's distributed by King World. Dankeschön. Check out my ass.
Bye-bye.
There he goes.
And really, the next time I have some kind of near-death episode, yes. Please... Feel free to not jump over the console to see what's happening.
There was no need. I knew you were on the road to recovery. I did get worried for a second there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, when it looked like a lizard was coming out of your mouth.
I just locked up for a second there.
Right. So everything's fine now.
Yeah.
Everything's A-okay.
It's fine now. You made a mess on my shirt, though. We got to make, thank God I'm wearing a black shirt today. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, sir, that's what I want. Why is that what I need?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale, you gonna get a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you're the master of the technology of this game.
Hey, how do you do that, man? Take all those pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
Oh. If you last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
Radio Dictators, Don and Mike.
Yeah, here's your phone numbers for instant access now. From anywhere in America, you know the toll-free number, 877-365-3636. From D.C., WJFK, your number is 202-432-1067. And if you live in New York,
WNEW, your number is 877-692-1027.
All right.
We have, is Howard on the line now?
I think Howie Long is definitely on the line.
Well, then let me, hold on, let me get the fancy music going. And joining us now, as they call him on the show, Big Boy. The great Howie Long. Hi, Howie.
I thought you were doing the North Dallas 40 as the intro.
Well, that's the tape.
Yeah.
That's the tape piece to let our listeners know that we're going to do a football thing here.
And we feel...
That is a great, great movie, except for the parties. I don't know where these parties were.
Oh, come on, Howie. You never went to one of those wild parties?
No.
When you were a Raider?
I swear to you, and I've had this conversation a number of times, for some reason they feel obligated in film to depict these wild parties, but the football end of it, they got down pretty good.
Was it either Lyle Alzado or
Lyle and I used to do after a game?
What?
Go back to his house with a few other guys on the team and their wives and hang out, have a couple of beers, and that was it.
Then it was Matuszak that was in that movie, though, right?
Yeah, Matuszak was
a little wild, but I don't know that those parties were necessarily group parties.
You know, we used to have, Robbie, go see if you can find that tape. We used to have Lyle Alzado on the show all the time.
Yeah, I miss that guy. I mean, he was a great personality. I mean, a wonderful, wonderful human being. We had the pleasure of having him in the studio one day, and I tell you, it was one of the best, most enjoyable segments we ever did on the radio.
Lyle and I lived together in a hotel when I was 21.
Oh, wow.
In Oakland, when we were practicing in Oakland and playing in L.A., and it was an interesting... Lyle, around 9 o'clock, would get a piece of chocolate cake every night with a glass of milk. And I'm 21, and Lyle's about 34.
Right.
And just looked like an armadillo. He was just muscle on top of muscle, you know?
Good guy.
Let me see the tape.
And I'm barely... I just started shaving, I think, that year. And 9 o'clock, he'd get his cake, and he'd get his glass of milk. And we'd be watching TV, and suddenly... he just shut the TV off and shut the light off.
And go to bed.
And go to bed.
On his schedule.
And I'm laying there, I'm like, well, do I say something? Or, you know, hey, Lyle, I was kind of watching the show. Or So what I do is Marcus was living across the hall with a linebacker from our team, and I'd get a roll away because I didn't want to hurt Lyle's feelings and just, you know, depict it as I got up before Lyle. Okay. I said, oh, Lyle, I got up early. I went to the gym already.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you don't want to mess with Lyle Alzado.
Yeah, not when you're 21. I'm like, whew.
Yeah, that's Howie Long saying that, so that's saying something right.
Yeah, Lyle and I were kind of like Russia and the U.S. I think we both had our fingers on the button, but neither one wanted to push.
I think, as a matter of fact, he was alluding on our show to the sexuality of
some quarterback.
I remember it was
which quarterback was it?
Was it Mark Wilson?
No, it wasn't Mark. It was a Cincinnati guy.
No, it was a guy on the Raiders. Was Mark Wilson the quarterback of the Raiders when you guys played together?
Yeah, he was one of the quarterbacks.
Don't you remember?
I don't know if Mark was the quarterback when Lyle was playing.
I thought it was a Bengal.
There was some quarterback, and all I know is that Lyle Alzado, and this was like, Howie, this was like 12 or 13 years ago before standards are what they were now. He got on the air and he started saying this some guy's a fudgebagger, fudgebagger, fudgebagger.
He did.
They came running in the censor. I mean,
you can't do that on the radio.
Maybe it's on this tape. Hold on. Let me see what we got here.
I have Lyle Alzado, and I never listened to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Just kidding. See, they cut out the part about...
Yeah, they do.
He was a character.
We called him... Bill Pakel and I were buddies with him, and we called him 3 Mile Lyle.
Why is that?
Because, you know, 3 Mile Island, you never know when it's going
to
go.
Well, listen, now, and Howie, I don't want you to go off now, because I'm going to bring up a topic, and I hope you don't get pissed.
What are you going to bring up, Radio Shack again?
No, we're not going to Radio Shack again, but I'm glad you have that memory.
It is something that, frankly, I have noticed, and I've talked about all year on this radio show.
Oh, really?
We yes. talked about it when we had Terry on. We have to be honest with Howie and tell him that we you know the subject came up.
And then I want to tell you that I'm ahead of the curve on.
So is he on this line of questioning
on that dumb Jimmy Kimmel. I'm ahead of the curve on this.
I think he's funny.
From so do I, but just hear me out now. From the very first time that Jillian Barbary was on the show.
You said this. I remember when you used to say this.
I said, watch Howie. Howie never turns and never looks at Jillian Barbary
right.
when she does the weather.
And then finally Jimmy Kimmel did a piece on it, right?
Yes. And as it turns out, then the week after that, Jimmy Kimmel lost a bet with Terry Bradshaw and came out dressed like,
yes.
Right. like Jillian Barbary, and he kissed Howie.
Right. And now we can.
Are you calling me of what Lyle was calling me?
No, oh my God, no.
No.
No, we are hoping to have you in studio. We don't want to risk that threat of bodily injury.
Here's the question. Seriously.
Yeah. I knew there was a question coming. My God.
The question is.
I hope you all have me on for two segments.
Okay. The question is, why don't you look at Jillian?
And we know you're happily married.
There's a couple of different viewpoints. It's kind of like when you go to the Pro Bowl, okay, and you're laying on the beach in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
okay,
okay,
and the gals in the G-strings walk by,
okay,
and you're sitting there with your wife and your kids. I mean, do you just crane your neck?
No.
That would be the Villanova answer. No.
Okay. All right.
Now I don't know where you went, but the other aspect of it is that why should I treat her any differently than I do another coworker? And then the third aspect of it is that as a football player, you're not used to working in an environment where you have a lot of women. You follow me?
Did your wife in any way influence your decision consciously or subconsciously for you?
Oh, I think subconsciously it does, but you know I don't. You know, you got to remember Terry can, you know, crane his neck and make all kinds of comments, and and Chris, you know, hell, no one's taking him seriously. So where does the bird lie? It lies with JB and me.
Right.
You know, so we're the ones that are on the bubble.
Okay, all right.
I think you should answer that.
You know what? I have a great relationship with Jillian. I think she's cool. She's a good gal. She's real sharp on her feet. She's real quick-witted. She can handle Terry. I think she's added a real element to the show, according to my three sons and my father-in-law.
There you go.
A significant element to the show.
Yeah. I would agree.
Jillian and I get along great.
All right.
Okay. Well, then
we're done with it.
That's all we wanted to bring up. We didn't want to bring up the Radio Shack thing.
We wanted
like
to get
that.
Your side of the story there.
That's it. I'm being honest with you.
And will there be any chance of you looking at her in the future?
I've spoken to her on the show. I've looked at her. The first week I looked at her, she fell on the floor.
But now, you will agree that hug, that when you were forced to hug her, it was like when you have to, like, hug your aunt.
You know what? I hugged her like I hug and give a kiss to my aunt or any other woman.
That's exactly what I said.
What do you want me to do? You want me to wrap my leg around her and do a pole dance?
Well, you know, you got those matinee idol good looks, Howie. I think probably people would love a blossoming romance, but we know it can't really happen.
Yeah,
so.
You know what? I have a blossoming romance. I have my wife and I have been together 24 years.
There you go.
We went to college together. I got three sons. Hell, I got a son I could send up there kick your ass.
Here we go. Okay, we're going to stop.
Don't get mad.
We're going to stop.
Oh, I'm not. Hey, Chris, could you go up to D.C. for me? He said, camel hat on, too.
I've heard about your son, that your son is also a ball player, and he's as big as you are, maybe a little bigger when you were that age, right?
Yeah, he's bigger than I was at that age. He's really evolving. It's fun to watch, and he's got a long way to go, but he, you know, it seems to be what he wants to do. He's about 6'3", between 230 and 240.
Please apologize to him for us.
And he's 16.
And how old is he, Howie?
16.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
16.
And were you anywhere near that big when you were 16?
I was about 225 when I got out of high school.
Wow.
And I quickly hit 265 my freshman year.
What size neck does your son wear?
I don't know. About 18?
16 years old and an 18-inch neck, 6'3".
You know, my son is also 16, Howie, and I bet compared to your son, my son looks like E.T.
You know, they're all different. I mean, you know, all my boys are different.
That's a big boy. 16, though, on any, you know, on any scale, that's big for the
but
age
you know
of 16.
What? Today, you see these kids in high school football. I mean, there was a freshman last night at Miami who was 6'3", 340 defensive tackle. He's a freshman. That means the kid's 19 years old.
So when you go to watch your kids play, all the opportunities when your schedule allows.
I don't miss one football game.
Well, good for you. Yeah. Every week when you go, do you get either hassled by people in the crowd, or do you get peppered with questions about how come your son's team's not doing something, or are people just cool with you?
Most people are pretty cool about everything, and if it's an area or if it's a bigger area, I kind of get off on my own to the side up on a hill or somewhere. I don't sit in the stands. I'm off to myself because I'm so nervous. By the end of the game, I have a tremendous stomach ache.
Yeah.
It's worse than walking down the tunnel at the Super Bowl.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's because it's out of your control. It's in their hands and you have to let go, and it's hard. It's hard. As you know, if you have kids, it's, you know, you end up going through the body motion when I'm watching Little League, you know,
right.
The swing.
Mm-hmm.
You're swinging with them.
Absolutely.
I agree. And it's I have found it very tough with my son because I'm the worst athlete in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was awful.
You haven't been around my wife. My wife might be the worst athlete.
Just awful. And I find it tough with my son when I'm watching him play sports and he's coming off the court or coming off the field. Not just to run up to him and I mean, the first instinct is to say something awful to him, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you missed that shot.
Right. You can't do that. You got to restrain him.
Because I'm thinking back when I was a kid, hell, I wasn't even good enough to be on the team.
Well, right. You know, and let's fast forward that. I mean, when you're talking about these players in the league, they have mothers and fathers. You know,
that's true.
And you know, I don't mind. You know, and they get on me at work because I don't rip guys as much as necessarily, like for example, Chris does. And my feeling is that I don't question a player being hurt or not hurt because the only person that knows that is the player. And I don't think anyone realizes the physical sacrifice that players make to play the game on a week-in, week-out basis. And then to take it a step further, if someone's not playing well, they're not playing well. But the area where I get into it is if a player does not show respect for the game or respect for his teammates or respect for the people that play the game, i.e. Randy Moss.
Right.
I don't have a problem jumping up for that. Or if a player takes a big contract and, in my mind, is not playing hard. There's not a lot of things in life that you can control. You know, one of them is your best effort. And if you're not giving that, I have no problem ripping a player.
Beautiful. Well, Terry, listen, I understand the way I get this.
Don't ever call me Terry.
Oh, I just call you Terry.
Oh.
You know, I'm sorry.
This is Howie Long.
Howard, I'm sorry.
Right now.
The way I understand it. Well, Mike, come on. I was distracted by the window.
Yes, I know. So then people come by and make faces at us.
Oh, really?
Terry,
yes,
I just called you Terry again. Howie, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
The way I understand it is, you're not going to pick the games, but you're going to give us guidance.
Well, you know what? The way I look at it, this is America.
Yeah.
And we are in a capitalistic society.
Yes.
And you're paying me Bupka.
Okay. Very true.
Once again, the Villanova answer.
There you go. Right. And the Villanova boy here has, you know, with those Radio Shack commercials and you're counting your money. We know that. Absolutely.
This has gone swimmingly.
Absolutely.
But wait until now. Now this whole thing goes south.
Yeah, we have to bring in another element.
You know what the toughest game to pick is?
What one?
Toughest game to pick this week is going to be Philadelphia-Tampa Bay.
I don't think so, because I don't think either team really, they're going to go down there and play vanilla, right?
Well, they're not only going to play vanilla, but it will essentially be a preseason game.
Right, yeah, they're gonna bring in all the
there will
the
be an exodus of starters. I mean, I think Donovan McNabb's gonna play a few snaps.
Yeah, because they play in the playoffs next week. Listen, Rudy Martsky is joining us now from a cell phone somewhere.
Yeah,
Rudy,
a bad cell phone.
He's in Dick Ebersol's car.
Hey,
yeah, that's right, Howie. listen, hey, you guys talking about your sons?
Yeah.
One of them did what my oldest son did, struck out in T-ball.
Oh, God. That nice memory for you. And that's when he was 18, isn't that right, Rudy?
He was 16, I think. So we immediately took him out of Little League.
Now he's working at Fox.
Rudy, your kid's working at Fox?
Fox Regional. One of those regional networks.
Now, which son is it? The son of Mary Julie or the other son?
That's the young one, Brett.
Brett.
One of Mary
Brett.
Julie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Brett, I took Brett out in Atlanta one time. We had a great time.
Oh, you did, Mom?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You did.
Oh, really? You want to elaborate?
No, I don't, Howie. Thank you for asking.
Okay. All right. We have the five biggest games. Howie will just give us guidance. Here's the order we'll pick them. It'll be me and then Mike, Rudy. Rudy, of course, you're not allowed to say anything except the name of the team. If you say anything beyond the name of the team, you're going to get that.
There you go.
And Howie, you can just give us a general feeling about which team you like.
All right.
Okay, first game is Green Bay at the Giants. I'll take Green Bay.
I like the Packers. Rudy?
Give me the Giants.
Howie, you got any feeling at all?
Rudy's
got
to get off the pipe. How's that?
Okay.
That's all right. That's a good comment on that. Very good.
Cleveland at Pittsburgh. See, now I'll tell you why this is an intriguing game, because Pittsburgh does have, don't they have something to play for? They have home field advantage, but I think they have a bye week or something if they win.
The best thing that could have happened to Pittsburgh was losing last week.
Because
they were riding high, feeling pretty fat on the hog. I look for them to. Pittsburgh is the class of the AFC.
Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh to win this game.
I don't think so. I think they're going to have a letdown. I think another letdown. They're going to be beaten by the Browns.
Rudy,
I always said what I was going to say.
You sound like Collinsworth.
Just pick, Rudy.
Okay, Pittsburgh.
All right, here's an easy game. New England at Carolina. I'll take the Patriots.
Patriots all the way. Rudy.
And I'll take the Patriots.
And Howie, you got to think New England's going
to U-Haul has had an influx of business in Carolina, and a lot of bags are packed.
Very good.
All right, here's two more games that have playoff implications. New York Jets at Oakland. This is going to piss everybody listening to us in New York off, but I think the Raiders are going to win.
I'm going to go with the Jets. Rudy Martsky. Rudy.
Raiders got to win.
All right, Howie.
Where'd I play?
There you go. That answers that.
Okay. And let me see. How about Kansas City at Seattle? No question, Seattle wins.
Seattle. Rudy.
Seattle, they got to win. Yes, too.
God.
Yeah, I think Mike Holmgren is finally. Well, you know what? If the other quarterback was available, he'd still play him.
Why?
Because today's game is done with a calculator. It's not done with a stopwatch and game film. It's in many ways done with a calculator. And you know, in the long term, he feels like this is the guy that can win a Super Bowl for them. And that's the reason why he got rid of. Yeah, I mean, this guy is 90. He's 19-1 in his last 20 games.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer. Why would you not play Trent Dilfer? Who the hell?
He's playing Trent Dilfer only because he has to.
Right. Well, that's. I don't know. I think it's dumb. I would have gone with him all year, but that's why I'm a disc jockey and he's a coach. Howie, sorry I called you Terry. Great having you on the show again.
Hey, anytime, guys.
And our best to your wife and to your kids. And
always a pleasure, Howie.
Okay, guys. Pleasure talking with Hey Rudy.
Yeah, Howie.
Always good talking to you.
Bye, Howie. Bye, Howie.
What the hell is going on with Rudy's life? Rudy,
what are you doing,
God, Rudy?
Rudy? What is
going
on? What is
I'm on.
What is going on in the background?
Background noise.
Are you at a crap game?
I can hear you. You got to stop.
Are you at a crap game or something?
Is that your, was that your wife yelling at you? Is that what we were hearing?
Well, no, she was on the phone with my brother. We were down here in South Florida trying to meet up with him for lunch.
Yeah.
And she was probably going to be a little late.
Important things going on.
First things first.
All right. Yeah. Well, it sounded.
Got to plan lunch.
You bet your Rudy's brother pays for lunch.
Right.
That was in my college yearbook. That was my name, A-Lunch.
A-Lunch.
A-Lunch. Yeah.
Lunch Marcy.
Hey,
I mean, that was your nickname? Rudy the Lunch.
Yeah.
Rudy,
yeah.
Lunch. No, just lunch,
Rob.
Just
lunch.
Bruce Marcy.
No, period lunch. That was it.
Hey, listen, Bruce, give us a nugget.
Whatever.
We wouldn't have known if we were not talking to you, the guru of TV sports.
Okay, guys. As you know, Denny Green's going to be out as the Vikings coach.
Yes.
And there's reports out there that it might be Tony Dungy succeeding him once Tony maybe gets axed in Tampa Bay. But look for Mack Brown, the University of Texas coach, to be the more likely successor there. And the reason is that Red McCombs, who is, of course, the owner, is from Texas and is a really big fan of Mack Brown's. And let's just see if Mack becomes the one.
All right, thanks, Rudy. Have a good lunch or whatever you're doing
Happy
today.
New Year,
take care. Take care, lunch.
Okay, there's a fire engine coming past us right now.
Oh, well, let's hear that, Bruce.
Very exciting.
Let's hear that. Roll your window down. Well,
wait a second. He's still behind us. So
you're sure they're not just having an ambulance for Rudy?
Can't pass us. Okay.
Jeez, it's always fun with the March kids, isn't it?
Okay. Well, mouse left. Okay.
Okay. Well, so where's the fire engine?
It turned off now.
He was lying.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Rudy.
Bye,
okay,
Rudy.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rudy.
See you next
okay.
week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. You are so right about that. You know, we normally say it just as kind of a joke with our guests, but in that particular case, you know, Mouse is in the back. Where's the restaurant?
I don't know. Christ, Howie Long is a good guest.
Yeah.
Want my wine?
Fire truck's coming. Hey, there's a truck coming. Mouse, we're not going to make it to the restaurant for lunch at 2:30.
Call the brother. Call the brother-in-law.
Come on.
All right.
And you know what that lunch will segue into?
Happy hour. We got a break. We'll be right back. Oh, Chuck Stossel and the Angry Mailman.
Yeah.
For the first time in 2002, and we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
Full of number three, the Don and Mike Show.
Well, here it is, another happy Friday on the show, and joining us as usual for the At the Movie segment is movie expert Charlie Stossel, and also joining us,
jeez,
ready for his ass surgery, is Robert the Angry Mailman.
Robert, I see and just an incredible amount of prescription medications there. What the hell do you have?
This is because all week they've been busting my man's balls over here.
Right.
For one little drug.
Mike's Paxil, you mean.
Right.
And Don's been on it. The listener's been on it. And I felt, I'm going to come in here and show you what a real drug ad.
What?
And this is all...
Now, are these all prescription medications you're taking currently?
Yes. Either I have diabetes or I'm HIV positive.
Right.
You take the choice.
I can go
get any whore in D.C. and I won't catch a thing.
Look at all those pills. What did you bring in, Robert?
We got a little glucophage for diabetes.
Right.
You'll love this one. This one helps depression, but it helps diabetes, too, so they gave me this.
Okay. All right.
This is the famous insulin, which I will shoot up for you guys.
Okay. Oh, you haven't taken your insulin shot yet today?
No, I haven't taken it. I'll wait to let you see how that goes.
Okay. Are you doing your leg?
Oh, no, I'm doing it in a six-pack today.
Okay.
Or in the 10.
Ooh, that hurts.
On the 10 minutes.
Ooh. Yeah, do it in your stomach, not in your boobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
I don't want to see you put a needle in your boobs.
Well, thank you for bringing your prescription medication.
Yeah, because I feel love with you, man.
Thank
I've been
you, buddy.
Listening to this all weekend.
Robert, like, that's nice of you, man. I appreciate
them,
that.
Man.
Thank,
you know,
thank you very
some
much.
Some problems aren't being made fun of.
There you
make
go.
Make fun of me, you know.
All right. You're a good man. I appreciate that.
Cocktail every day, you know.
Now, Robert, what is the deal with your ass? You're going to have ass surgery today?
Yeah, 2:30, fellas. I got an abscess in my rear end that they tried to lance yesterday with two giant needles.
Mm.
A lovely female doctor and a lovely sister nurse looking at my ashy black ass. And I had to take a dump and I had to fart.
Oh.
So I had to hold it in. And, you know, they're like, I said, you know, I'm really scared, but they shot and it hurt, and they couldn't get nothing out, so they said, try again today. So I went home, and what I do, I ate two big things of chili.
Right.
I'm taking a dump now, and I'm going right back to my HMO in about a half hour.
All right, good luck with your ass surgery.
Thank you.
Charlie Stossel.
Hello, Don.
Hi there. How you doing?
Now it seems every time you come in here, we have Robert along.
Yeah, lucky me. How's your ass, Charlie?
My ass is just fine, Don.
Okay.
I don't know why you're asking about it.
Well, no, I was just...
You don't have an abscess or anything
nothing,
like that?
Nothing today. Maybe next.
Have you ever had a boil on your butt?
Not that I can recall. Not any time recently.
Very good.
All right, well, Robert is the angry mailman, and Charlie Stossel is the movie expert. And,
right.
Charlie, how many movies open this week?
Only one.
Only one, and
only
it is?
One. It's Imposter. This is the Gary Sinise movie that's been in the cans for about a year and a half. Year and a half.
Well, then why don't you talk... Let me see. Since we've been on vacation... The biggest movies that have come out, why don't you talk about A Beautiful Mind.
Which you loved, I hear.
I hated it. There's three I'm not going to talk about.
Okay.
I got something to say about that one.
A Beautiful Mind, The Majestic, and Ali.
Okay.
I think that those are still the top three movies that people are thinking about going to see. So let's go with that. Let's start with A Beautiful Mind, which incidentally... I hated.
It is shocker. In essence, this is a love story with Russell Crowe as a mathematician based on a true story about John Nash, a guy who is brilliant at what he does and in school, but how he can be so inept in other parts of his life. Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Come on, Jennifer Connelly.
Get to the point.
The girl who was his wife?
Yeah.
She was all right. She's all right. She is all right. In the end, Ron Howard directs this movie.
Ugly guy.
In the end, it's basically about two people, and I think it's a love story, and you're going to see Oscars for this. And Russell Crowe, I'm telling you,
Russell Crowe,
3 years in a row, 3 years in a row with an Oscar nomination.
That's
and this
the
is
first time he's married an Oscar in a long time.
Tom Hanks-ish. Mm-hmm. Now, we had The Insider, Gladiator, and I bet this year with A Beautiful Mind. I thought it was a warm, wonderful movie.
How many porcelain dolls did you give
Three and a half.
A Beautiful Mind?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
Robert?
Well, I love the fact that there's a giant... mistake made in this movie.
What's that?
This guy used to delve in homosexual. He was a fag.
Yeah, now listen.
And they never mentioned that.
Now, that is true that the guy was bi.
I didn't know that.
Right.
But in this movie,
they skip it. They like, you know, a fag.
So they make it into a romantic movie.
They address it in one scene when Russell Crowe is looking at a guy.
That's not addressing nothing.
Leering.
I can look at you.
Oh, well, listen, I'm just telling you, I'm reading the spin, okay?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Robert, you know, I like your outfit today, though.
Hey, thank you, man.
Yeah, so I'm not looking at you like a fag.
I'm
mean,
well, hold up, man. I like your shoes.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Let's move on, shall we?
All right, so
I'm coming here to talk to you, man. Right?
I am here
for you.
You're my man now.
Okay.
I appreciate
it. So, Robert, I take it you with me. You do not like A Beautiful Mind.
I mean, if you got a little gay tendencies, go there.
There you go.
All
right.
If he likes guys, I would respect the movie more if they addressed that. Not addressing it makes his head have a problem with it. Think about it, you know.
It's not honest.
You know, the guy was a queer.
I'll say one thing, though, Charlie, in defense of the movie. I don't think I'm ruining it for anybody, because it obviously it moves from this guy as a young man to being an old man.
Right.
I will say that the makeup on Russell Crowe at the end is the best old guy makeup.
Oh, see, I like that.
I've never seen it in my life. It doesn't look like... Nutty Professor.
He doesn't end up looking like
Nutty Professor now. There we go.
There we go. You know what I mean.
So he doesn't look like Mrs. Doubtfire.
No,
right.
The next movie, Jim Carrey, The Majestic.
No one is going to see this movie. This is bombing in a big way. This is directed by Frank Darabont, who did Green Mile. He also did Shawshank Redemption. Two pretty good movies.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one...
Shawshank Redemption's in my top five.
Absolutely.
Mine too.
In this movie, Jim Carrey plays a guy who loses his memory. He's a Hollywood screenwriter, loses his memory, and he has to start being reminded of things through... you know, people reintroducing him to certain things going on.
What are those big pills, Robert?
Robert is shaking his pill bottles.
Pills, man. These are when the sugar's real high, like when I had waffles and stuff.
Oh, really?
You know, and I had some.
So, like, if you eat too much sugar, you got to pop one of those.
Oh, yeah, man. But you get sick of them after a while.
Great.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go, Chuck.
No, please. I'm done. I'm done.
All right. How many porcelain dolls do you give?
One and a half. One and a half.
Is it because of Jim Carrey's performance?
No, it's just, it's sappy. It's too sappy even for me.
Okay.
And it's a little slow.
All right.
A little slow.
You know, I'm not the type to sit in the movie, you know, being diabetic, I got to go pee a lot.
Right.
But this movie, I actually took a bucket of popcorn and put a little lining in it and stayed in. And I peed in that before the movie because I actually wanted to see this.
Did he get in any fights with anybody at the movie?
No, you know, they knew me, you know.
Okay.
I work for these people, too, you know. I go in there with an attitude, you know. Mm-hmm. Give me some effing popcorn.
Right.
Shut the F up, mm-hmm. you know.
Dear. Very good.
And this was pretty good. You know, I prefer Jim doing comedies, but, you know, he can stretch it a little bit and be a little serious, and it was okay.
Okay.
I give it about three clips.
Three clips. Yeah. All right, and the final movie, Charlie, is Will Smith, Ali.
You know, we were talking about, Robert and I were talking about this in the back and actually agree in an awful lot of it. Michael Mann directed movie. Michael Mann, who I think does a great job with his films, The Insider, Heat, Last of the Mohicans.
What are those films, Robert?
These are cut down on the peen.
Okay, all right.
Certain color.
All right, very good.
It's clear my sugar's high.
Very good.
One in a nice yellow stream.
I
always want to keep it yellow.
Is that the average number of pills for somebody with diabetes, or do you have more than the average there?
Nice HMO. $10 a whop.
Very good.
They get your ass.
Very nice.
Yeah, Robert has 6 prescriptions and 2, like, over-the-counter things.
And a nice needle.
There you go. And you're going to shoot up in a second for us.
All right.
Listen, Charlie, we know the story of Ali. We know Muhammad Ali's life. How many dolls?
Two dolls.
Will Smith not good as Muhammad Ali?
Will Smith is fine as Ali.
But how about the one criticism I have with this movie? John Voight as Howard
Cosell.
John
Voight
does
a good job.
He does a good job. He's very good. And he has the voice pretty good.
I'm not trying to agree with him. You know, I have to go away from him. It was okay.
It was okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it 4 clips. If you want, if you don't know about Ali, it's good to watch.
Yeah.
Because I love Jamie Foxx should get a nomination. And maybe, a couple of women look good. You know, they got nice TNA, you know. So I'll give it 4 clips.
He put his wife in there, right? She plays one of Ali's earlier wives.
She didn't need to be there.
Jada?
Jesus Christ.
She's a POA, though.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, I'd put her in my movies, too, if I was married.
But Jada's in the movie.
You know, you're still going to get the ass anyway. You sure have to be in the movie, you know?
All right, listen. Go ahead. Shoot up your insulin now.
All right, here we go.
Do the imposter. We got one movie for this week.
Oh, one more?
Talked about this week.
Oh, we do?
Coming out.
Yeah. We said the imposter.
Oh, the Gary Sinise. Sorry, go ahead.
Plays a guy who is the Earth is in the year 2079 involved in this interplanetary war with a bunch of aliens. He has this great weapon that's going to make us win the war.
Robert's shaking his pills.
Don't be rude.
Go ahead.
Don't be rude.
I'm just trying to move it along. You know, people are hanging up, turning the dial if it's not good.
That's
go ahead.
Because you're here.
Because Howie Long sucks.
Is shaking your
head.
Why did Howie Long suck?
You saw me make the face.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You came by and you gave me the sound like I'm giving him a BJ.
Are you angry at Howie Long, too, Robert?
Well, I'm a Raiders fan, so he moved along, man, you know. Talk about the girl. She's a piece of ass. How do you not look at her?
Right.
You know, I'd be doing hand jobs on this.
Well, thing. I know. You know why he doesn't look at her. He doesn't look at her.
Because
his wife gets pissed.
There you go.
I'm not going to go there with you. We're not going to go there with the P-Whip, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he is P-Whip. You know,
what do you mean you're not going to go with me?
I love you, man. Don't go there. I'm not going to go there.
I'm not going to be offended if you think I'm P-Whipped.
Never, because you know.
Wait, you think I'm P-Whipped? You can go ahead and say that, Robert.
Every once in a while when I listen to your lovely wife, who I know you love dearly, and I've seen the face you make when somebody talks about her at the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we talk to her and she starts, you know, it makes me sick sometimes. I'm divorced. I couldn't take it, man. And my wife, you know, was a good woman, and it's like my way or the highway. You know. And sometimes when you're talking to her, I'm like, God, you know, I love you, but it's like, man, you know, grab her by the, you know. I turn her, man.
Very good.
I'm sorry, man. I asked your opinion.
He made his point, Don.
I asked your opinion.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
Okay, so Gary Sinise gets arrested by Philip by Vincent D'Onofrio's character, thinking that he is an alien. He's one of these bad Centauri guys, and he is...
Who we're at war with.
Yes.
Explain it to the folks.
I'm trying to. I think I even said that already.
Robert Stone is at war with him. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
So now he's arrested, and he has to prove that he is indeed himself and not this cyborg, skin over metal... Android guy.
F that. Explain why this movie's been in the can for a year. I saw a preview for like 12 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, and they should just put it out, and this crap is crap. You know, but I'm a sci-fi nut. I love science fiction, you know, because the future has to be better than the S we're going through now. You know, so...
If you're into science fiction, give it a shot.
I love it. I love that.
How many dollars
one,
you give
one and a half.
I give it 10 clips.
10 clips?
10 clips.
Highest rating yet today from Robert.
Well, except for the porno.
The porno, that's right.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, we will
He's going to shoot us in front of him.
Here we go.
Right in his tummy.
Make sure we don't get the six-pack.
All right, very good. The six-pack. There we go. All right, here we go.
You don't want to. All right. Okay.
All right, you're going to give...
I've had some...
Now, is this where you prefer to shoot your insulin, right in your stomach?
Yeah, I can do it.
All right, here we go.
I want people...
All right, here we go.
That's
a medical miracle. He's going to have his ass surgery done shortly. Right now, he's putting in his insulin.
Look.
Charlie,
you got to look at this now.
Charlie, come on, you got to look at it.
Look, Charlie.
He's pinching.
Look at that, I'm going to show you the abscess.
No, like, no, I don't want to see the abscess either. Go ahead. All right, take a look.
Abscess.
Yeah, I'll look at your abscess.
Oh, no. All right, here we go, fellas.
Ow. All right.
Yeah.
He's not even fake.
Yeah,
he
just gave himself an insulin.
Bravo.
There you go.
Bravo.
Thank you. I couldn't be a drug user, man. If I wasn't diabetic, I don't know how to do heroin. Where they shoot in the balls and stuff.
Oh, God.
All right, now. Abscess.
Oh, no. All right. Yeah. Let's take a look at that abscess.
All right, we're going to look at Robert's abscess.
We'll take a look at your abscess.
All right, here we go. We're going to look at the abscess. Right. Let's see. Where is it?
It's inside?
Oh, there it is. All right. Okay. Yeah, I didn't see it.
I come up.
You got to turn around.
Why don't you go around and show Don?
Hold on a second.
Why don't you go around and show Don?
There it is.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're gonna have to see a doctor about
that.
Buzz
has nowhere to run.
This is not 2K. We are looking at the abscess on Robert's ass.
Oh, it's medical. All right, I open my eyes now.
Robert, you know, I know I'm gonna ask you back next week, not only to review movies, but to check on the progress of your ass.
Okay.
Very good.
Will you come back next week?
Robert and Charlie next week.
Right. Best of luck later on today.
Thank you.
And you know, they're coming around on each other a little bit, too. I think it's making it more of a legitimate segment.
Actually, I bought them a JIT magazine to take home. You know, so.
All right.
A little more black folks.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, both of you, get out of here.
Get out of here, both of you.
Take your pills. Go get your ass surgery, Charlie.
Bye, fellas.
Thank you.
There they go.
Thank you.
Charlie Stossel. Robert the Angry Mailman.
There they go.
They've got that old Siskel and Ebert friction. That's what makes
them
work.
They do, and they're coming. You know, I like this segment today. It was very, very well balanced.
Good team.
You know, they're not doing that phony arguing. They're only arguing legitimately, and that's plenty.
Good. Wow. Very good.
That's quite an abscess on Robert's ass.
Pretty, you know, not as bad looking as I thought, really.
Oh, no, I thought it was pretty bad.
It looks like it's deep.
Right about where I had it pegged.
Yeah.
I
was hoping it was, you know, it's good that it wasn't any further in the cave.
Probably caused by an ingrown hair.
Right. Wow.
Well, he's off to the hospital to have that work done.
Showing me a little love today. Thank you, Robert.
Mm-hmm. And,
good guy.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm starting to grow attached to the whole Robert and Charlie thing.
You can't help it. No. You really can't help it. You know what? Robert doing his homework, too.
Yeah,
Robert's seeing these movies.
Right, and a lot of times, Stossel's not seeing them.
Robert knowing more about the movies than Charlie.
Let's go to Guy Birdley right now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
He made it up.
And Buzz, your lead story today?
Today, boozing, boisterous backstreet boy busted at beachfront bar.
Oh, I love it when you do that, Buzz. I love it when you do that. Hey, you know what? Let me give someone a chance to win a prize.
Oh, very good.
Real quickly. Yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
All right.
Real fast.
What are we giving away?
We're just giving away the Wheel of Intoxication. Hello, Dean?
Hey, how's it going, Don and Mike?
Dean, now listen, I know you were on hold to ask Robert, the Angry Mailman, a question. I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but I'll give you a chance now to win the Wheel of Intoxication.
Okay.
We're going to debut a brand-new, very quick call-in game. Takes 5 seconds to play.
Cool.
Where's Dude?
You know,
oh, we're going to do that. Now. Yeah.
You know our studio announcer, Dude Walker?
Yes, the studio announcer, Dude.
Best, okay, mm-hmm. Here's what you want to do. You want to guess if he's going to be in, and this will only work if you're listening to us on FM, incidentally.
Yes, right. FM stereo.
You want to guess if Dude's going to be in the left channel, the right channel, or in the middle. Where's Dude? What's your guess?
My guess is in the middle.
In the middle. Let's see. Dude, where are you?
I'm over here.
Oh.
He's on the
sorry.
Left.
Well, I thought
sorry.
He was on the
He's
right.
He's on the right, Buzz.
Buzz.
Then my headphones are wired backwards, which explains
Buzz,
so much.
Buzz, listen. Hold on. See, here's Dude on the right. Here's Dude on the left.
I'm over here now.
And here's Dude in the middle.
I'm over here now.
Right. Yeah, well, my headphones are wired backwards.
Okay.
Might not be your headphones, Buzz. Might be your board.
Dude, you want to try, Dean, you want to try one more time?
Sure, one more time.
All right, where's Dude? Left, middle, or right?
Middle.
I'm over here now.
Oh,
damn.
I'm sorry, he's on the left.
Left side, sorry. No winner on Where's Dude.
Won't we be embarrassed if people start calling in saying, no, you're wrong, he was on the right that time.
Yeah. No, our headphones have it, right?
That's right.
Correct?
Your meter will tell you.
Yes, here we go. You're right. Let me figure this out. This is...
I'm over here now.
That's the right side.
That's the middle, right?
That's the middle.
Oh, hold on.
That was the middle.
What? All of the meters are going off, though.
No, well, wait a minute. You just played the middle.
Okay, hold on. Which one is this?
I'm over here now.
That's left.
Left.
That's right.
Right.
I'm over here now.
That's middle.
Okay. That dude, he can move around.
So are you getting it on the right channels?
Yeah, I got it now. All right. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Joe.
Joe, where's Dude? Left, right, or middle?
Dude, he's in the left.
He's in the left.
Yeah.
Dude?
Yeah.
Where is
Let's
Dude?
See if we got Dude.
Oh, no, he's on the right.
Oh, hey, can I come up there and kick you guys in the nuts?
Why?
Because I steak food would make me feel good inside.
Well, you called to play a game. Are you mad because you lost?
Well, no, but I just still want to kick you in the nuts, even though I lost. Had I won, I'd still want to kick you in the nuts.
Why do you want to kick us in the nuts?
Because it'd make me feel good. Don't you want to make me feel good?
No, F you.
How about a little manual release? I come up there, you know, you do me.
How about F you, you F and F?
What?
That was a T-shirt in New York that I saw.
F-U, F-ball.
No, that's a stupid T-shirt.
F-U.
How about I come up there and kick you in the nuts?
Oh, how about you kiss my ass, huh?
Oh, please. How about a little ass massage? I come up there, you take your hands, you put them on my buttocks, and massage my buttocks.
How about we nominate you for the Dumbass Hall of Fame?
How about
I would like that. I need some recognition of some kind.
What, you some kind of fag? You want me to play with your
I'm
ass?
I'm not a fag. I'm open to anything. I just want to feel good.
This now isn't Glenn, is it?
Is this
I'm
Glenn?
Sorry?
Is this Glenn?
Is this Glenn the janitor?
No, this is Joe.
Come on, really, is this Glenn the janitor?
No, this is Joe from New York, from Long Island.
No, this is Glenn.
No, this is Joe.
It's Joe who?
Joe Mama.
Oh,
God. Go on now, I just thought.
Go away.
Let's see. I want to see who can cry first for me kicking you in the nuts.
Go away. Get out of here.
I'm over here now.
He's in the middle. Okay, that's the debut, everybody, of Where's Dude?
We didn't get a winner.
No, we didn't get a winner.
Maybe next time.
See, I can rig it. See, no one's ever going to win the game.
Yeah, you could, actually.
Because I've got left, right, and middle.
Let me try. I bet I can win.
Okay, Mike. Where's Dude?
He's in the left.
He's in the left.
I'm over here now.
That was the middle.
He's in the middle.
I'll never win.
No.
Damn.
See, that's the point. No one's ever going to win at this game. I'm going to ring it every time.
Right.
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
You want to play?
What if what if you closed your eyes?
Sure.
Is it on one card or two or, three cards?
It's on three cards.
Okay. All right. You just peeked.
Of course I did.
Okay.
Where's
How about this? How about you close your eyes and Rob shuffles the cards?
Well, no, that would give the listeners a chance to win.
Okay, sorry.
What were you thinking?
Where's Dude? Left, right, or middle?
He's going to be in the middle.
He's going to be in the middle?
I'm over here now.
Sorry,
he's left. He's in the left.
Great game.
Thanks, hold on a second.
What a shame we didn't get a winner.
It's not really a game.
It's not a game.
It's a joke.
It's a torture exercise.
It's a joke. We're just kidding. One day we
had
extra time with Dude Walker. What, Buzzy?
Now, Buzz is on the right channel. Buzz, are you playing over there?
I'm over here now.
Buzz. Buzz. So if we can play the game with Buzz.
Listen, we got to go to news.
Yeah, we do.
We got to go to news. What are you doing with my microphone now?
Hi, over there.
there, Don?
Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
Ralph. Put him back.
I'm in the middle.
Now I'm over here now.
God.
They're not going to understand any of this for all our AM affiliates.
Put it all back.
Okay.
Slightly.
No.
No, that's not right.
All right. There you go.
We're over here now.
There, I fixed it.
Okay. Yeah, really, apologies to everybody on AM.
Sorry.
We're real sorry about this.
You should really get your station to carry the show on FM.
Thank you.
You the light wears, dude. Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. The Don and Mike Show.
On the Don and Mike Show. That was very...
Oh, professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Don and Mike, honey.
Hey, listen, as it turns out, this the whole Where's Dude thing, we will not only have to apologize to our listeners on AM stations, but even on the FM stations, like the station up in Seattle. And,
right.
The station in Louisiana, the one in Vermont.
We mistakenly thought this was a stereo feed.
And as it turns out, the only two stations on our network that actually get the show in stereo, in full FM stereo, are WJFK in Washington and WNEW in New York.
Right. See, is it, not playing music and all, it's never really mattered.
We just had someone from Seattle call and say that, a lot of times you'd say, where's dude, and we didn't hear anything.
Right.
And see, the whole thing, the whole reason we came up with where's dude is because we could do left channel, right channel.
How foolish we didn't research
middle
it.
Channel.
Realized that it was put together with duct tape and gum.
And why wouldn't Westwood One want to broadcast in stereo?
Maybe the cost, Rob?
Is it more expensive to broadcast?
I believe
stereo?
So, yes.
Wow. Yes, it is.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I understand.
sorry about that. The only people who actually were able to hear the left channel, right channel, or middle channel...
How embarrassing.
...were the people in New York or the people in D.C.
Really, how incredibly embarrassing that is. Like advertising the fact that now we're not really giving you the stereo show. But the magic of stereophonic sound.
It's truth.
I mean,
I know it still sucks, though.
I'm sure if you're listening to us on KQBZ in Seattle, the stereo light goes on
on your
car radio.
Yeah, pops on.
Right. But it's mono, baby.
I mean, if you're listening on a high-quality, high-fidelity receiver.
Think of the classic rock tunes you wouldn't really be able to dig.
And Johnny has just sent me an instant message from New York that sometimes Westwood feeds two things at once to save time and money. They'll send... one show on left channel,
right,
and another show out on the right channel,
and then it's up to the up to the affiliate to.
That's ridiculous.
Because it's cost effective.
Yes, it
that's
is.
That's friggin' ridiculous.
Exactly.
All right, here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz. Well, I guess that's the end of Where's Dude. If we can't have left channel, right channel, and middle channel, what's the point of Where's Dude?
Right.
There's not.
The only game you could play is Dude in the Room.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
AJ McLean is not the only Backstreet Boy with a problem. Fellow boy bander Nick Carter was arrested in Tampa this week after getting drunk, starting a fight, and exposing himself. It was Tuesday night at a club known as Pop City. The 21-year-old singer was there with some other guys, some friends. By the time he'd gotten around to exposing himself, he reportedly yelled, "Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Carter." Another witness quotes him this way.
what a dink.
Another witness quotes him this way. He was crying like a little baby, saying, "You can't do this. I've never been arrested before."
Hey, bud. Let's party.
You just want to arrest a Backstreet Boy.
Oh, gnarly.
Tampa police say Carter was told 10 times to leave the club before he was finally arrested.
I'm Nick Carter. Look at my D&B.
I'm Nick Carter, everybody.
No, he has no problem.
And then he was crying?
Yeah, well, according to witnesses, yes.
See, like Charlie Sheen in Wall Street when they lead him out in handcuffs?
Or was it like Robert De Niro and Analyze This?
More like De Niro, I think. U2's All That You Can't Leave Behind has scored 8 nominations in this year's Grammy Awards. It's up for Album, Record, and Song of the Year.
I just want to say thank you to our fans, and we think it's bloody good that we're getting the recognition from the Groomies. I'm looking forward to winning a few big Groomies. And now, if you don't mind, I'm going to wear some very odd sunglasses and run my fingers through my hair.
India Arie, who's up for Best New Artist and comes in second with 7 nominations. Alicia Keys, also a newcomer, has 6 nominations, including Best New Artist and Song and Record of the Year.
What's my favorite candy?
What is your favorite candy?
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears.
Thank you.
The winners will be announced late next month in Los Angeles.
And what's her nickname for Lisa?
Rumi. That's right, Rumi.
And your estate in Manchester, England, which is like something like 1,000 acres.
That 1,000 acres.
That would be very,
Rummy.
Rummy.
That's right, Rummy.
As opposed to Rumi.
I'm no Doomy.
The U.S. believes Osama bin Laden is still alive but wounded. The Washington Times says officials think we came closer to killing the terrorist in November than we realized at the time. In the latest bin Laden video, his left arm remains completely still during his 33-minute rave out. That tape was apparently made in early December. The U.S. stepped up bombing last night on al-Qaeda bases in southern Afghanistan after seeing a group of soldiers surrounding what appeared to be an important individual there. But the U.S. is also flying reconnaissance now over the African country of Somalia, in the belief that the remaining al-Qaeda leaders are trying to regroup there. And we have, unfortunately, received word of the first American military casualty of the war. It took nearly 3 months, but finally happened when a special forces trooper was killed by hostile fire today.
Ah, that's awful.
For as long as Madame Tussauds Wax Museum's been taking the survey, Adolf Hitler was the world's most hated man.
Rob Spiewak!
But now there's a new number one, Osama bin Laden.
Really, already? He's more hated than Hitler?
Hitler now comes in second. Iraq's Saddam Hussein comes in third. The people of Iraq might disagree. One newspaper there says most Iraqis view bin Laden as the man of the year.
Well, you know, I have to say, I think that Osama bin Laden is a giant a-hole who deserves to die, but I think still on your all-time countdown.
On your hit parade of
number
evil,
one's got to be Adolf Hitler.
You better believe it. And you gotta throw old Joe Stalin in there, too.
Right. Hitler got farther along than bin Laden did, certainly, but bin Laden and his supporters want to eliminate all Christians and Jews, so that's a pretty significant segment of the world's population.
Where's Sam Huff on that list?
New Yorkers may get through
Hold on, Buzz. Hold on a second.
All right. Hold Sam Huff tapes?
No. And on our countdown, number 2, Osama bin Laden.
We're counting them down.
And this week, the brand new number 1 most hated man in the world.
Who is it?
Knocking Adolf Hitler out of the number 1 spot after almost 40 years. And keep in mind, hi, it's Casey in Hollywood. Keep in mind that Adolf Hitler executed the murder of millions of Jews.
Yes.
It was an awful, awful dictator. Yet, in only 3 months, this man has taken his crown. Now, a long-distance dedication.
Number 1.
Your number 1 all-time most hated man in America.
Number 1.
Osama bin Laden. There he is.
Now on to the countdown.
As the numbers get smaller, the a-holes get bigger. That's right, you just heard him. Adolf Hitler, number 2.
And I gotta talk about an effing dog dying.
And around the corner,
New York. Bob Kingsley.
Hey, how y'all doing? Yeah, they could do that on the country format.
Sure. That was Bob Kingsley. Thank you, man.
Hey, we just got the big news out there. Adolf Hitler's not the most.
Yo, hold on. How many of those we got?
Got the doubt. I'm Bob Kingsley.
Hey, you got a record for me?
Yeah, I do, actually, for that format.
Okay, hold on then. Here we go.
Moving up to number 1.
Number something or other.
Okay.
We're counting them down.
Hi, everybody. This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood. On our way to the brand new number 1 most hated man in the world. After 40 years.
I effed it up.
There should be a 9-second intro on there, right?
No, it's 4, then 9.
4, then 9?
You got a 4-second lip and the total jingle's 9.
Oh, all right, okay. All right, I got it now.
We're counting them down.
Adolf Hitler was number one for over 40 years. And now, after only 3 months in the world spotlight, the number one most hated man in the world. Osama bin Laden. Here's the theme from Deliverance.
Wow.
That's funny. That's funny. Osama's number one already. Number one with a bullet.
With a bullet, yeah.
We hope so.
Absolutely. Yes, please. Hope it's number one with a bullet.
We hope so.
If you raise a glass of Heineken this weekend, raise it to Freddie or Alfred Henry Heineken, as his parents named him. Freddie's dead at the age of 78.
Got lead in the head?
He once ran the world's third biggest brewery behind Anheuser-Busch and Interbrew.
Hello, I'm Freddie Heineken.
The Heineken family still has control of the company.
Number something or other.
How you doing, everybody?
That was fast.
My name is Bud Weiser. Very sad. I want to say, what's the guy's name there,
Heineken,
Bud?
Freddie Heineken.
Fred Heineken. I want to send this out to the good people. I had to get right here. KFRC. Fred's dead.
That's what I said.
And Osama's number one with a bullet.
Let the band
Hitler's number two. And right here on the Country Music Countdown.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's a train wreck. That's worse than Where's Dude? I mean, this last time it's been worse than Where's Dude.
What's but it came out to our listeners in fabulous monophonic sound. Yes, and each and every day, we do know that everything's beautiful.
Why are we playing this?
Why are we playing this? That's a silly question. I don't think that's a question you should ever ask, Don.
Country crossover artist Ray Stevens.
Oh, I got you. Okay, all right.
Sing it, Ray! Yes, it is. I'm back.
It's only
this is what plays in my head each and every day.
Like the starry summer night.
Yeah. Right inside that pink pill, baby.
Everybody's beautiful.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. We got a break.
Okay.
We got a break.
Wow.
Put all that stuff away.
More music news ahead.
Buzz, stand by.
All right.
More news and comments coming right up.
And Mike Show. Satan's Imps. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, damn straight, huh? Call 100, let's do it. 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America. D.C. WJFK, your number is 202-432-1067. And New York, WNEW, 877-692-1027. Now let me stop. You guys want to sing, go ahead.
It's the intro that we sing on.
Sorry. Hi,
Buzz.
Sorry about that.
New York State Lottery officials.
You know, Mike, I thought you sometimes like our singing in the background.
I don't.
Were we both singing there?
You both kind of.
I was bracing, too. I like the sha-la-la part.
That annoys you when we do that?
A little bit.
Oh,
yeah. But I was trying to throw you a bone.
So noted.
We'll stop. I'm down with that.
Okay, Pax.
I'm perfectly calm with that.
I know you are.
I'm cool with that.
You took your pill late today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York State.
Well, you think I'm tense?
No.
You've got a dog.
Well, why'd you say that, then?
Just to have with you.
Oh. Okay. So noted.
New York State Lottery officials say they're happy with the results so far from the new ad campaign everyone's singing along with.
Mm-hmm.
The lottery's,
except me now.
The lottery's jingle lately has been part of the Bare Naked Ladies' 1990 recording, If I Had $1 Million. It's a silly song that's not only selling lottery tickets, it's selling albums for the band. The group, by the way, got paid $80,000 for the rights for the New York Lottery to use that song.
I like the Bare Naked Ladies.
And I like that song. The proud 4% is now the not-so-happy 6%.
Wow.
Unemployment was up to 5.8% last month, its highest level in 6 years.
More listeners for this show.
Right. Another 124,000 people lost their jobs in December. In a way, though, that's almost good news. In the months before that, the average was 400,000 jobs.
Oh, God.
Eyes glued shut. A Long Island woman accidentally put super glue in one of her daughter's eyes yesterday, thinking it was the girl's medication.
Oh, dear.
A girl was being treated for pink eye, and the woman apparently grabbed the wrong bottle.
His mother of the year.
Wow.
The 9-year-old was rushed to the hospital by helicopter, where doctors broke the seal, washed the eye, and decided there was no permanent damage.
Mommy, mommy.
Then the daughter went back to scratching her butt and rubbing her eye.
A New York mobster got whacked yesterday while relieving himself along a street in Howard Beach.
Whoa!
31-year-old Martin...
He was probably going number one, not number two.
Yes, exactly. 31-year-old Martin Bosshart, an associate of the Gambino crime family, got one bullet in the back of the head. And when police found him, it was obvious he'd been draining his bladder at the time of the shooting.
Bosshart, man, what a way to go. What a way to be found.
And it hit him so hard, it knocked a feces out of him.
Probably. Bosshart finished 5 years in prison last fall, but then he was turned over to the feds. Police think he was executed because the family feared he'd say too much to the feds. Bosshart was believed to have been involved in drug trafficking, kidnapping, larceny, fraud, and, quoting one officer, a little of everything.
Wow.
Michael Eisner is apologizing to Disney stockholders for the company's miserable financial year.
I'm going to give you all ostrich heads.
He isn't saying what he plans to do about it, but he's also telling investors he cannot guarantee the company's future performance.
Please take this stuffed snowy owl as my gift to you.
He blames in part terrorism, the recession, and challenges.
Please.
Those other challenges include big mistakes by the company well before either the recession or terrorism.
Since the tragedy, people haven't been warming up to the characters.
Among other things, the company has already closed 50 of its retail stores and now plans to close another 51 locations.
I want to work on that radio division.
Buy me Pokemon.
Yeah, great.
I've had it up to here with the likes of you people! Thank you. Have an otter.
People with round heads are more likely to snore than people with longer, skinnier heads.
I must be a rounder, then.
That's the result of a study in Cleveland on sleep apnea. That's when people stop breathing while they're sleeping. The researchers found that a person's airways get narrower as their head gets wider. It's all considered serious, since apnea can make you sleepy during the day, raising your blood pressure and therefore putting your heart at risk. Wake up, Mike.
Sorry.
I guess we all missed quite a party at Susan Sarandon's apartment a week ago tonight.
Sarandon?
At least we think it was her apartment. The New York Post's page 6 gossip column says it's gotten word that a half dozen naked people were having quite a party at the place Sarandon shares with Tim Robbins on West 15th Street. The paper says its witness was reminded of the movie Caligula by what they saw.
Hey, wow! Love the Caligula.
But Sarandon and Robbins, who were at the time and still are in California, say they're not sure the paper had the right address. They say several people did have access to their place, but that none of them seemed to know anything about the party.
Caligula.
That used to be my radio name. Right?
Yeah?
Caligula?
I didn't know that.
Hey, it's Caligula. How you doing, everybody?
The Caligula countdown.
In sports, Dennis Green has been fired as the coach of the Minnesota Vikings. The team still owes him $5 million from his contract, but apparently wants him out even before the Vikings' last game of the season. His agent's reportedly working out a settlement now. Minnesota went 5-10 this season. It was his, Green's, 10th year with the team and his very first losing season.
That's too bad. He's a good coach.
Washington Wizards head coach Doug Collins is the NBA's coach of the month for December.
He's a puppet of the month.
The Wizards were 11-4 last month, matching their best December showing ever. Wizards' season record is 16-14. Tonight they face Michael Jordan's old team, the Chicago Bulls, and Jordan is just 15 points shy of becoming the fourth player in history to rack up 30,000 career points.
Well, MJ, 60 points tonight.
And finally...
What?
No, he's just doing very well.
I know. Prediction.
Finally, I was wondering whether he wanted to say anything.
Well, no, it was fashionable to say he sucks before he started scoring 50 points a game.
Right. 50 points a game. I guess he's getting his form back.
Maybe if you want me to say it, I'll say it. Just,
no, you know, that's okay.
Michael Jordan sucks.
Don't say something you don't mean.
He's no good.
That's right.
Finally. He's washed up. He's too old. He can't play the game anymore. Yeah, it was easy to say that when you're scoring 3 points a game.
Right.
And the... Effort comes out and scores 51 points and then 40 points the next night.
Amazing. He's back.
In Honeybrook, Pennsylvania, a 16-year-old Amish boy has been charged with drunk driving.
Good for him. With the buggy?
Drunken buggy driving. About 40 miles outside Philadelphia.
Get your hands off me.
Police say he veered his horse-drawn carriage into the path of a car on Christmas Eve.
Get ye old hands off me.
Nobody got hurt.
Get thou hands off me.
Police didn't say how...
Dost thou not know that I am a Nick Carter of thy Backstreet Boys?
Look!
V-Art exposing myself.
Police didn't say how drunk the young man was. They
look
also,
at thine penis.
They also didn't say how Amish. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz Burbank.
Yeah, that's it. We got to go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't hurt yourselves. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Thank you for all the great calls. Hey, and what can I say to the guy with the hotline number?
Hey, we won.
Yeah. Back Monday with the all-new episode. Let's get a call 100 right now. Oh, I do want to mention, please, everybody, very fragile. So make sure you join Mike O'Mara and the Crap Blues Band.
Yeah, I mean, really, please.
Tomorrow night at Main Street USA in scenic Annandale, Virginia from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Does that sound prosthetic enough?
Please. They're not improved for 2,000. Yeah, we'd like to get 25 people out there. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Am I caller 100?
Oh, I'm sorry. You have to ask. You are not. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right. Who is this?
Chris.
Hi, Chris. Where are you from?
Seattle, Washington.
Chris, you've got the Wheel of Intoxication.
All right.
Yeah, from Boingo Games. Go to www.boingogames.com to order your game today. Wheel of Intoxication.
Sounds like a great party game.
It gets the party going. Sounds like a great party game.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend in Seattle or wherever the hell you're listening. Go Seahawks, right? Win, they win, and Ravens lose, and they make the playoffs.
That is true.
Also, go Jets. We should say that.
Yeah,
hope the New York Jets make the playoffs, and am I the only person who thinks the Redskins can go 500 this year?
I think they can. Yeah, I think that we can't underestimate the significance of that, Don.
Am I the only one who thinks that? We got to go have a great weekend. Good day to you, sir.
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 Rob.
Can you be kind?
Can you be kind? Throw your hat in the air, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
I'm over here now.
There you go. Oh, look at that. That's a reaction to Paxil. See you Monday.
So long. Bye-bye.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.